Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you know that we're on. Tell them to call in. is 516-418-5996.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so, you know, we were continuing our conversation about a few days back about the murderers of George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, you know, being injured in a prison system of where he's incarcerated for the murder of George Floyd, although he did not get the correct sentence. And they, you know, come up with their technology and what have you, whatnot. And this is what justice looks like in 2023 America. And this is season 7, episode 402 of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And we're joined by our co-host, the one and only and corporate executive producer, Mr. Che Nkrumah, who's also runs Frontline Black News on StreamYard as well, too. Okay, so we're talking about, you know, former police officer Derek Chauvin, you know, who got stabbed in the joint in Arizona, and then the murderers of Elijah McClain, you know, two of them have walked, and I believe that they're having a trial for the third one. And
No.
Shabaka,
had a trial for three of them.
Right.
Two of them walked, and one of them was convicted. The one that they just let walk, they just put him back on the force. But they're talking about he's not in uniform and he's not on duty, but he's still on the force. And then they just gave him $211,000 in back pay.
Wow. That's insane. Okay, so that's his bounty, you know, for killing a black person.
And he's back working with the fucking Aurora PD.
Wow, okay, that's a cruel injustice, man. You know what I'm saying? It really is. So therefore, it just once again goes to show the ethos of America that it has no regard for black life here.
The trial that's coming up is about the paramedics, because the police are like, oh, it's not us. We didn't have nothing to do with it. It was the paramedics.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time for the paramedics to go to trial. And they were talking about on the news that trial is going to go all the way through most of December. Because we got a situation of, oh, we're pointing fingers this way, and they're pointing fingers the other way, and we're... Staying here on Frontline Campaign Black News. Campaign, about experience enhanced.
Right.
The whole goddamn system is guilty.
Absolutely. The murdering
bastards that killed him, they went back to the scene of the crime and took pictures, took selfies, reenacting them choking him out on each other like it was funny. And all this was not admitted in court.
Right. You see what I'm saying? And then the cold part about it is how they're using this court system systemically against us. You see what I'm saying? And this is why what aggravates me, you know, about fools like Tim Scott, Clarence Thomas, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, you know, see, they play a blind eye to this. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the cold part about it is that, you know, and they expect us here to, they don't give them, they don't give a damn about us. You see what I'm saying?
And all the tweeting in the world ain't going to change that, like.
Exactly.
We literally told him he wasn't hard to fly. He tried to make himself as much a safe Negro as possible. They don't care about that.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun downtown. He got
sir.
His mama is a raccoon, unfortunately. I hate to say his mama is a raccoon. She didn't care him for what, you know, the world was, let alone what the world was. So he's out there being a soft target. You're going to the store at night in the sundown town.
Yeah.
And And I try to tell her, you know, this, your son was a victim of police brutality, racism, white supremacy.
Right.
Oh, no, no,
right.
No. You're just bitter. You're just evil. You're just really, not evil. You're just really bitter and mad. No, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
She basically says some shit like, why can't we all just get along? Why did this happen
Rodney
to my
King
son?
Shit.
And I'm like, and I was like, what do you mean, why did this happen to your son? Like,
yeah.
Are you
been
living
exactly,
under a rock or something?
Man.
Like, we're at war.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know? And then the cold part about it.
And
then cold
Jeff
part
blocked
of,
me as a result of that. And then he had this damn sexual predator that used to be my case manager here at the Fusion State. Talking about what they were doing to help the unhoused neighbors, which is my term. Everybody, my term. I've just been up there using it. And I got this goddamn chomo, well, this predator up here talking about. He got the answer, and he knows.
Yeah.
So he was a known predator. Like, y'all sitting up being up a predator and don't even know it.
Yeah. That's crazy. And then just like that Eric Adams guy, you know what I'm saying? You know, that he had hit with
you
something.
You call my officer Eric Adams,
You see what I'm saying? And then also, too, just a quick note. Out of Chicago, I'm going to read this story right here. See, this is the problem, you know, with these ass-scratching politicians. Okay, Chicago's mayor...
I have one more thing to say about Elijah McClain.
Oh, yes, sir.
So, paramedics, they're going to trial for the person that they had shot him up with to state him after Nathan Woodyer left the scene to choke. He left.
Okay, you're fading in and out. Okay, you're fading in and out, Brother Jay. Could you repeat that, please?
You know?
Yeah, okay. You sound a little bit better.
And that's what I was telling
you. Okay, all right, Brother Che, yeah, he's talking about the Elijah McClain case. Okay, is where the paramedics administered the wrong medication to him, which in thus resulted in his death, you know, so which is negligence on their part. So quite naturally, of course, you know, they don't want him, you know, to be blamed for it. But also, too, what I want to do is read this small article, not getting off track on tonight's subject, about Chicago's Mayor Johnson blames his predecessor Lori Lightfoot for migrant crisis. Okay, Johnson claims he inherited the city's spiraling migrant crisis and lashed out at Lori Lightfoot's former administration. Johnson criticized Lightfoot's administration at a press conference on Tuesday held to announce the Unity Initiative, an interfaith partnership that bringing sleeping migrants out of police stations and into shelters. Johnson told reporters that the international crisis that he inherited 6 months ago, he's made it very clear he's going to move the people out of police districts, women and children who are living on floors and sleeping outside, and he's going to create spaces to provide them more dignity. But once again, you see, this is where nobody cares, you see. And this is the problem about, you know, these black politicians, you know, who sell us down the tube. And then, okay, you got what?
I got disconnected, the direct connect or whatever. But I'm back now.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay. So that's Sarge. Let's see here. Let's bring him in. Sarge, is that you?
No, it's Solution.
Your solution? Check this out, solution. I'm going to tell you straight up, man. And you can go up and hang up right now if you want, man. But we're not tolerating, man, what you pulled up there the last time, man. That wasn't cool. You see what I'm saying? So if you think it's going to go like that, man, you might as well hang up now. Now, if you want to have a sensible conversation, man, we'd be more than happy to have you. Now, it's up to you.
All right. Well, look here. Let me say this. That's fine.
Yeah.
But also, you have to understand that, okay, I wasn't in the best mood last time. And when someone crowds me like that, that's not cool either. Because you guys talk about discrimination, but you shouldn't discriminate either. You should allow people to be free, be who they are. Now, if we do that, we can get along. I have a very valuable tool for anybody that's evolving, that wants to get better, wants to be empowered. But if you, but if I'm attacked, what am I supposed to do? If somebody attacks you, you're going to fight back too. So just be fair about the.
Okay, let me just finish this.
Just be fair about the interaction. I didn't like the way things went down either, but I didn't have control over everything. It hadn't gone that way before. So, you know, it's up to you. I can just listen to you guys. That's fine with me.
But,
but solution.
I don't like being attacked.
Okay, but solution. Nobody does, but the point is if we're going to disagree, let us disagree agreeably. You see what I'm saying? Okay, now, if he was your boy Pianchi, man, you know, you'd be shown the door, man, because, see, we try to get along with him, but I'm not going to bend over backwards to get along with nobody, man. You know what I'm saying? You know. And Brother Paris, man, you know, he's the co-executive producer right here, man. He's to be treated with respect as well, man, and he's got the right.
But wait, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you just said. And I don't know about Pianchi. I've had some interaction with him, but I don't know what went on with you. But respect has to go both ways, and I'm sure you understand that.
Okay.
Just because you guys have the, you know, you you pay for the show, I respect that. But if a caller deserves some respect too, and
I'm saying, look,
I was talked over, I was disrespected, I felt disrespected. That's the reason I did what I did. I go on a lot of shows, Shabaka, a lot of shows. Generally, this never happens. So my my thing is be the kind of person you want other people to be. So that's what I would say.
Okay, now let's hear from my co-executive producer, Brother Che. What do you have to say about that, sir?
Would you answer that question and answer it, and then when we started, you know, going off on us, I wanted to know was your request. That was it. Said you set us off. Are you not subscribed? Are you white? Are you like to this program? It's black. So, white people call in and we
okay, Brother Che? Yeah. Okay, yeah, because you're fading in and out.
Yeah, it's the internet.
Okay. All right. I hear you. I hear you great right there. Okay. All righty. Okay, solution. So what's on your mind? So our subject tonight, solution, is what justice looks like in 2023 America. And on this episode, we'll be discussing the former Minneapolis police officer, Derek Chauvin, getting stabbed in the joint in Arizona, and the Elijah McClain murder trial for the paramedics begins in Aurora, Colorado, going on here in 2023. All right, solution, okay. So what are your comments, man?
Well, Derek Chauvin, I can speak to a little bit, because, and I, if Sarge comes in, Sarge and I, I consider Sarge a faithful friend. Sarge is a wonderful man. I don't completely agree with him on this particular issue. I know he brings up the toxicology report, and recently, as a result of Chauvin being stabbed, I've heard people say, well, you know, the guy had enough, Floyd had enough drugs in his system to be fatal. I don't really buy that. Let me just say this, and I don't care about being controversial, but I like to be accurate. I think that Floyd should have been killed, but in the commission of one of his crimes, like when he held the pregnant woman up and beat the hell out of her with the weapon, pistol whipped her. But Chauvin was wrong for what he did. He was absolutely in error. He should have gone to prison. He should be in prison because he was being a criminal. He was abusing his badge at that particular time. And I want to make it very clear of that. I don't care what else was wrong with Floyd. I feel that Chauvin materially contributed to his death. Now,
Well, that is clearly obvious. You know, he's got the man bound, number one. He's bound. He's handcuffed. Plus,
and
his knee
is on his neck. Excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, he's blocking the artery there, which is going to his brain, plus his windpipe as well, too. And then when you see Chauvin shift his weight, you know, he's applying pressure, you know, to the sensitive part of the cartilage in the neck area or the windpipe. And the man is saying that he can't breathe, he can't breathe. And he said it more than five times. And then Chauvin, you know, still went ahead and proceeded with what he did. And then you can see at the 9:05 mark of the video, where you can see that Mr. Floyd had indeed expired. Yes, they came and picked him up there.
4 minutes.
Yeah, and you can see that he was lifeless, you see. And I don't understand, you know, these dump supporters. And when I say the dump, I mean that in human shit. And I want to be perfectly clear about that, okay, is that I can't see how they could justify, you know, what Chauvin did, okay. Now, I'll even go so far as to say that George Floyd was a criminal. You know, I don't know the man personally. I'm not aware of any crimes that he did. But if he's been arrested before, he's been arrested before. But that man was bound. You see what I'm saying? And they still did that to him. See, that's where the special circumstance comes in at their solution. You see, Mr. Floyd was bound, okay? Now, just like with Rodney King, they beat him in the head 52 times with a baton. They hit him with a taser about 10 times, and then under California law, when a taser is deployed, it's supposed to be a paramedic or someone with some type of medical knowledge to remove the tasers once they've been deployed. Now, this is supposed to be the policy at that time in the city of Los Angeles. But however, you saw Sergeant Coon, you know, rip the tasers out of him, reload the tasers, shoot Mr. King again. So therefore, this is a pattern of police brutality that you have against black men that's been like that since the slavery days, is because the black male was never supposed to be seen as a man. That's why they would always call him boy. He was never to look white people in the eye. And this day and age, this is why they got him effeminized. Do you see what I mean?
Right, but Chewbacca, I want to caution you here. Two things can be right at the same time. It doesn't have to be one. But before I broach that, I want to say this about in civil law. I'm much more familiar with civil law than I am with criminal law. But in civil law, there's something known as the cracked eggshell defense or theory, and that is you take a complainant however they are. And I think the notion is, if a person's head is as thin as an eggshell and then you crack it, there is culpability, there's liability. And the same would be true with Floyd. And this would be a form of the argument that I would launch at someone like Sarge. Now, I believe Sarge is ultimately fair. I think he's one of the fairest persons I know. But he'll go to the toxicology report, that sort of thing, and fine, okay, we can consider that. However, absent Derek Chauvin's action, I don't believe that Floyd would have perished. I don't believe he would be dead. Now, that's my point there. Now, going back to something else, okay, a person's behavior, going back to two things, can be true at simultaneously. Yes, I know there's been discrimination in this country, and one of the things I like to talk about is I like full disclosure and transparency, and that can be brought out. However, however, we need to talk about inappropriate behavior. Rodney King doing things, he didn't stop. He was doing things that were inappropriate. And I think I shared with you one time, I know I did now that I think of it, I said it's not good for anyone to come in contact with the police. Because policemen are, with all due respect, they are a type of savage that we hire to confront the more savage people. That, you know, that's why we give them a gun, a badge, mace, handcuffs, a billy club, and all the other paraphernalia, because it's a necessary evil. Now, I said to you to keep from coming in contact with the police, you know, of course, have your license current, because they look at that. That's one of the major reasons. You can talk to Sarge whenever he gets here. That accounts for 50% of the reason that police pull people over are as expired tags. So get your fucking tags current. I can't I can't overemphasize that. Number two, be somewhat respectful. If you call the policeman officer asshole, now I'm being a little bit facetious, but as long as you show a modicum of respect and understand the system is not designed for you or myself or anyone else to win in the field. That's not where one puts their defense. The defense is put up in the courtroom. I've taken many officers to court. In fact, I don't drive a whole lot now after COVID. I used to drive a lot more. But I got pissed off because I found, and I'll just finish this up, I found that traffic tickets were basically a revenue raiser. They don't have a damn thing to do with safety. So every time I got a ticket, I would go to the DMV, the code, the DMV code, look up the code. Most of the time, the police even write the wrong offense. They don't know what the hell they're doing in that. And I would take them to court, and I would win every time. Not one time, not two. This is over a period of time, by the way. So I'm just saying, you know, obey the laws, be a little bit smart. And I even gave you a bonus. I said, hey, the policemen, oftentimes they need money, and so they'll write you and they'll say, hey, donate to our police force. And then they give you a little sticker. You put that sticker on the back of your car or in a discreet place because they'll see it. And I'm not saying you can do anything, but they are a lot more, they grant a lot more freedom. Now, Sarge can also either confirm or deny this. So there are many ways of avoiding contact with the police. And that's what a wise person would do, is avoid contact with the police. And, you know, the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I don't think any rational person using ratiocination, okay, clear thinking, linear thinking, would disagree with that.
Okay, well, basically, like I said, you know, I've studied a few law courses myself, right? Okay. Now, the last time I got stopped, you know, it was here in Las Vegas, okay? The registration expired on the plate, but I had the temporary sticker, right? So the cop said, hey, man, you know, license, insurance, here you go, here you go. Then he states, the reason why I pulled you over is because I see that the registration, you know, had expired on here. And I says, okay, great. And I informed him of that, you know, I'm updating the paperwork, you know, for this vehicle, which I was. You see what I'm saying? He said, okay. He didn't write me a citation. He ran a make and stuff like that. Now, fortunately, you know, that was a fair, safe experience. You see what I mean? Is because a lot of times what they would do is that they would say, step out of the car, okay? So that's when you would ask, am I being arrested? And if he says no, then you got the right to ask him, okay, why are you asking me to step out the car? And 9 times out of 10, and Los Angeles is famous for this, well, step up on the sidewalk and talk to my partner, and then the cop is searching, you know, the immediate area inside the vehicle. See, that's an illegal search, okay? One is he doesn't have a warrant. Two is you're not a suspect, or otherwise he would have came at you at another way, you see. Three, it also gives them the opportunity to plant something in your vehicle, and LAPD is famous for it. You see what I'm saying? And the only reason that they got busted is because they had been caught on videos planting evidence on people. You see what I'm saying? So what do you do about that? So then they tell you go to this procedure, that procedure. Basically, they give you a runaround. And then what's going to happen is when his supervisors review it, oh, no, he didn't do anything wrong. You know, he was in accordance, you know, to their policy. And then keep in mind, Solution, as you already know, the police are policy enforcers, not law enforcement officers. They enforce policy. The only bona fide legal law enforcement officer that you would have, man, would be the county sheriff, is because he is elected by the people to enforce the law. You see what I mean? But the police are policy enforcers. And then on top of it is that how are they going to know the law when they only go through a training requirement, man, of 6 to 8 weeks, and a lawyer has to go to 8 years of college, you know, 4 years, you know, undergraduate work, and then he got to do his postgraduate work, you know, to get his JD degree, which is a doctor of jurisprudence, you see. So, you know, you got to play chess with it, man. Not checkers. You see what I mean? And then keep in mind, as you already know, Solution, let me say this here and I'm going to yield to you, is that they originated as slave patrollers capturing runaway slaves. Okay, Solution, you got the floor. Then we're going to turn it over to the co-executive producer, Brother Chet.
Yeah, we agree on a lot of what you said. However, I think that, you know, I often talk about anachronism. That's called a misplace in chronology. And mm-hmm. I think you do that quite a bit. This is not the 1800s or the 1700s or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, this is 2023. Policemen mm-hmm. do make mistakes. They're not experts at the law. We understand that.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it's just as I mentioned to you a moment ago, it's best to do the things that avoid interaction with the police. And most people do that pretty decently. They do that pretty well. Policemen, mm-hmm. There was another point I made, but policemen, they are necessary. We need them. I'm not going to call you if I need a policeman. But I think mm-hmm. the police need to be given a bit of fairness. Everybody deserves fairness or justice. Everybody, not just you, not just me, everybody deserves fairness. So what I would say is that currently policemen have contact with a lot of people. If you look at all the law enforcement across the country, and we have, like, last time I checked, 335 million people. The mm-hmm. few incidences that do go awry, and a lot of times the police are wrong, just like with Chauvin, But mm-hmm. we got to say the police do form, they do perform a useful service. I mean, a person just has to be fair about that. And as long as you do like we talked about and be somewhat respectful to policemen as you would want to be respected, and just understand the system is designed for policemen to win in the field. I once asked mm-hmm. a guy, I won't even go into that, but the bottom line is that policemen do their job on the aggregate without conflict. Usually mm-hmm. nothing happens. I've seen policemen beat the hell out of Caucasian women, which was inappropriate. I've seen policemen, let's say, for example, there was a case in Arizona. Now, these are isolated cases where a policeman went in a woman's house. She was in a bathrobe, and they beat the hell out of her. They threw her around, roughed her up. Now, they ended up losing their jobs, okay? Mm-hmm. And there needs to be more evaluation and more scrutiny of policemen. And one other thing. We really don't trust policemen. That's why we require them to wear body cam, is because that body cam is saying, we don't trust you. We don't trust you to tell the truth. We want to see it by an objective means. And I think mm-hmm. if a policeman gets out of his vehicle to interact with the public, with a citizen, if they don't turn on that body cam, that should be grounds for immediate either dismissal or severe sanctions, because we don't trust.
Okay, I say put them in jail for suppressing evidence. You see what I'm saying? Is because you see, every time the police pull you over, their job is to enforce policy. Okay, and if he is violating said policy, then he has got to be held accountable, just like when he took his oath. You see what I'm saying? You know, to enforce the law fairly, you know, not no misconduct and what have you. And in a city like Chicago, where Sarge is from, you see what I'm saying? The police are known to be crooked. You see what I'm saying? In a city like Los Angeles, the police are known to be brutal. You see what I mean? And then at one time when they had, let me see, before Daryl Gates, who was the chief, William H. Parker, okay, who was the police chief of the LAPD in the 1940s and the 50s and the early 60s, okay, he had made it a point to stop certain individuals who were coming to Los Angeles, okay, you know, from back east, and he had informed them is that, well, they got a certain way of doing things there in Los Angeles, and you're going to be under constant scrutiny. Is because, you know, according to Daryl Gates' autobiography, called Chief, that William H. Parker wanted to keep the LAPD, quote-unquote, pretty clean. But however...
Right, Shabaka, was that in L.A. Confidential?
If you saw a movie called L.A. Confidential with Kevin Spacey and let me see, and who else, the other guy who was a lieutenant, that was set in Los Angeles in the late 1950s, okay.
Yeah, all I was saying is I think some of that was outlined in L.A. Confidential. You're right. I don't back. Mm-hmm. And one other thing before you, I know you're going to go to someone else, and that's fine. Look, I don't back away from that question that, and I didn't get his name. What is the gentleman's name again?
Hey.
I didn't hear it.
My name is Che.
Yeah, Brother Che.
Jay. Okay.
No,
I got his phone is...
C-H-E. No, C-H-E.
Anyway, yeah,
Che.
We can definitely talk about that like men, and I can certainly give you my position if you choose to. Go ahead with your program. I'll go on mute. But, yeah, we can definitely talk about that.
Yeah, okay. And Brother Che, you there? Okay, so as we're saying right here. Yeah. Okay, yeah, because
right, so
you're still
faking. I got a question for Solution.
Yeah.
But to somebody else. So you said you said if you have a stone.
Okay, Brother Che.
Yes, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, but you're fading in and out.
Oh, God. Ask him the reason
why. Okay, we got another caller right here. Okay. I think it's Sarge. Okay, but Brother Chad, tell you, okay, do you have access to the chat room, Brother Chad?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when you fade in and out, you know, hit me in the chat room, you know, so I most definitely could read, you know, your comments and what you're saying. And let's see, we have another caller right here. Okay, we have an additional caller there. We have Solution on the line. Okay, our co-executive producer, you know, is having some technical problems there out of our Denver office, okay? And most definitely, we're always interested in what he has to say. Okay, so we have another caller right there. Anytime that you're ready, just press 1. And I think I know who that other caller is. And I think it's the one and only Sarge, okay? So if that's you, Sarge, just go ahead and press 1 so we know it's you. So we can unmute your microphone. Now, I got some knowledge here, Sarge, you know, or it might be Joseph Gittin. Okay, now I got some knowledge here for you, Sarge. I got some books for you, very well-read gentleman. Okay, but what it is, though, is that when the police pull you over with no probable cause, okay, then, you know, that there's a criminal offense. And guess what that criminal offense is? Okay, Joseph Gibson says that...
It was all the bullshit.
Okay, George Floyd was not a criminal, Joseph Gibson, okay? George Floyd, if anything, was a murder victim, okay? So that must have been Joe because somebody hung up, okay? But Joe, you're welcome to pour in all the insults here, man, and the hate mail into the chat room. Okay, invite others to come in. We'll be more than happy to read them here on the air. Okay, now, the point is, okay, George Floyd was accused of passing a fake $20 bill. Okay, so the police were summoned, okay?
Yeah.
And, there's Joe right there. Okay, the police were summoned. Okay, so they said, okay, Floyd, you know, you're hanging paper here. This is fake paper. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're going to take you to jail, you know, and it's called counterfeit. You know what I'm saying? Okay, great, beautiful. So then the only thing that they should have did was just went on, man, you know, put him off in the car, you know what I'm saying? And then, too, you know, he resisted arrest, so they say, which I don't think he did, okay, that they had wanted basically to make an example out of him, you know, like they used to do black men on a plantation. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't never want to have, you know, no Negro up there being smart and all of this. Okay. All right. Joe wants to comment. Okay. In this corner, coming out, ding, 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 ding. Okay,
hello.
Okay, Joe Gibson, you state that George Floyd was a criminal. George Floyd was a murder victim, sir. Now, I did not say he did not commit any criminal acts, okay? That's why the police were summoned in the first place because of the $20 bill. Okay.
Okay.
Now, all right, now. What Chauvin did was murder. Tell Pianki, and I think that was one of the most degrading things I ever heard a black man say about another black man. Oh, Chauvin did that there, and it made that boy cry out for his mama. Okay, that was disgusting, and that dude was a straight dick.
Okay,
I'll
go along with that.
Yeah, okay. But why was George Floyd not a victim of police murder?
Well, first of all, the autopsy came in, okay, and there was evidence hidden at the trial, okay. Now they're even talking about this openly in the corporate news media. There was evidence purposely withheld. There, the man deserves a new trial automatically on appeal. Come on, everyone knows that. Am I right? You don't agree with that?
Of course not, Joe.
So all these brothers, all these brothers that are locked up, that when new evidence comes, they don't deserve a new trial? That's how the system works.
They don't get it. No, but Joe.
But they should get it.
No, they don't get it. Okay, now, funny you should say that. There was a man, Joe. Okay, Joe, there was a man by the name of Johnny Cochran, okay, who was an attorney, and he took a case pro bono from beginning to end, and he got this man who was wrongly convicted in the California penal system for 30 years, and he got him out, okay? And the thing about Johnny Cochran, he got a lot of people. He did a lot of pro bono cases for people who could not afford an attorney, which is a admirable thing. Now, we know that white America is upset with O.J. Simpson being found not guilty. O.J. didn't kill that woman.
He was guilty.
Come on. No,
he
was
guilty.
Not guilty, Joe.
He admits
the man,
it. He admits it now.
He must have
quit. He was acquitted.
He's admitting he's done it, though. There's no video out there of O.J. admitting that he did the murder.
No, Joe.
No, he was acquitted, Joe. And then they in the criminal trial, okay? So then he was also sued in a civil trial.
Different levels of evidence now. You know that.
Okay, but however, though, if they was going to convict O.J. Simpson in a civil trial for the same offense, criminal trial, Joe, then the state of California needs to release every convict who was convicted. You see what I'm saying? As long as they don't.
No. In a civil case, Chewbacca, in a civil case, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's preponderance of the evidence.
Okay, but you just need the majority of the jurors to vote him guilty. So which means is if you got 12 people, all you need is 7 people to say that he's guilty and you lose in a civil trial. You see what I'm saying? Is because after all, Los Angeles County is full of civil trials, man. You know what that ratchet institution called Hollywood.
Yeah, but let's go back to George Floyd, though. Hang on. Let's go back to George Floyd.
Okay.
The autopsy reveals
absolutely.
That he died of intoxication. That's what he died of. He had fentanyl, enough fentanyl to kill a horse.
That's not what it revealed, Joe.
Oh, it's not?
Man, I need to start watching and listening.
Sarge read it for you, didn't he?
You know, we don't have Sarge. We did tell Sarge that he is ordered to report here.
I told him. You heard me tell him. $2,300. You heard me tell him now.
Okay, so you know, yeah, he's been ordered to report at 2,100 hours his time to this platform, man, and no, we will not take no for an answer.
I asked a few people to come over here, actually.
We'll see him in the chat room, and we'll see Ron Reck out there, and greetings to you there, Ron Reck. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you. And then, like I said, it's because we disagree, we try to disagree agreeably. You see what I mean? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that when George Floyd said that he could not breathe, okay, Chauvin should immediately place him in a police car. Now, had Floyd died in police custody without that man's foot on his neck, you see what I'm saying? Then I might see you halfway right there, Joe.
That's fair.
But with that man's knee being on his neck and he was there for 9 minutes, okay, you see what I'm saying? That's what killed him, okay? Because I think you got the primary cause of death and you got the secondary cause of death. Am I right about that, Brother Check?
Yes.
Yeah,
no, you are.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, you see what I'm saying? This is why I wish a guy by the name of Thomas Noguchi was still alive and did the autopsy on George Floyd. It's because Thomas Noguchi, man, was the coroner of L.A. County, man, for over 30 years. And
I got something to share with you guys. You know what they're going to do? This is what they're going to do. I'm going to tell you right now, and you pay attention to this. They're going to get you on this reparations, right? But they're going to trick you. They're going to give the reparations to the illegal immigrants. That's what they're going to do.
You're
not going to get a dollar.
That's a safe bet. Hold on, Joe. That's a safe bet. You see, this is why we're raising so much hell about it out there in California, is because, see, California will set the trend across the whole nation. For some odd reason, man, what happens in California is kind of like a trend set.
True.
And the next one who picks it up is Colorado. Then after Colorado picks it up, then it starts hitting the eastern states, and I believe it will be either New York or Maryland, you know, that'll follow on the trend.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Connecticut, yeah. One of the New England states. You see, now the reparations, man, is necessary. It needs to be gone over, man, with kid gloves and a fine tooth comb, because it's going to be some technology off into it. And then there's another colleague that you're very familiar with, Brother Che, who's on it. You know, the doctor that you and I are familiar with on another platform, you know, and she is always welcome to call in. You know exactly who I'm talking about. So if you're out there, doctor, you know, we're reaching out there for you, because she drops knowledge. She does not use not one cuss word. You see what I'm saying? And if any of our sisters call up this platform, you know, they got that, you see, because we've been admonished a couple of times on a couple of other platforms, so we try to clean it up. But I cannot say it does not go off the hook right here. And then also, too, we want to give a shout out there, an invitation to Mr. Jay Dizzle, that I reached out to him to ask him to come on, you know, who gave an excellent lecture the other night. But with as far as this demasculization of the black male is basically is what the crux of it is that we are getting to, is because, you know,
you're
they
seeing
look
that
at this
in society today. You're seeing that. That's it's more like the white male. That's the white male. That
no,
they're
Joe.
Come on,
Joe. We do not see white men up here, man, wearing women's clothes on social media, man, is that you see in abundance that they have black men up here doing this crap. Okay. Look at Joshua. Okay. You remember Joshua, Brother Che?
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very disgusting.
It started with white men. Remember Three's Company, that show Three's Company with Jack Ritter, John Ritter, or whatever his name was? He was the homo, remember?
Okay, Joe, the point is what we're getting at here, right here. Okay? We're talking about the demasculization of the black male, okay? And I see we also, too, we go, okay, our borders are lighting up, okay? We got 206.
Who is this? 206, I think that's
okay, I think I know who. I think I know who that is, okay? Okay. 206. Hey, thank you, Mr. Dillon, for joining us, man. Sure, I'm glad that we got you tonight.
Hey, Dizzle in the house.
DJ Dizzle. Yes, sir. Okay, Jay, right up your alley, man. Okay, we got Solution right here, and we got Joe Gibson right here. And they were saying, man, that Mr. George Floyd deserved to have been killed the way he was by Derek Chauvin. And before I unleash you on him, of course, quite naturally, of course,
I never said
happy,
he deserved
man.
To be killed. I never said that.
Okay, but you don't agree with Chauvin getting what he got, how he
no,
got business.
No, I don't.
Okay,
no, I don't
Mr.
think it was a
Dizzle,
fair trial at all.
The floor is all yours, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Dizzle. Work your voodoo and work your magic.
it's all good, man.
Work with him, Junior.
Listen, I'll expect him to, you know, rejoice in his fellow race soldier getting. But you know what I'm saying? Like, really, I think that Chauvin stabbed himself. I'm pretty sure it's because he was getting tossed around by a bunch of brothers in there, and he couldn't live with the shame because he fell in love with whoever was hitting him from the back, and then, you know, when dude didn't want him, then Chauvin probably just tried to end it. You know what I'm saying? Poor guy, poor fella.
No, you got me on that one there, Mr. Dizzle. Yeah, okay. And that there holds a whole lot of water as well, too. You see what I'm saying? Most definitely. Yeah. And, of course, you know, he was probably in there, too, with some of the individuals, man, that he had arrested and planted evidence on, you know, mistreated as well, too. It seems because, you know, they do got ways, man, of getting to you. You know what I'm saying? And also, too, it happened to let it be known that you're in there. You see what I mean? You know.
Yeah.
But other than that,
It was righteousness, however it happened, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. You know, without a doubt. And then on top of it,
then it was around Thanksgiving, man. It's giving me a reason to even start to like Thanksgiving, man.
Oh, okay.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jay Dizzle. Happy Thanksgiving.
Give thanks.
I don't think the Tucson, the federal penitentiary in Tucson, actually is the homosexuality is to that far, or the raping of inmates happens there. So,
no, I don't think it was rape. I think it was consensual. You know what I mean?
Well, it's possible. Who knows? I don't know.
Okay, so he's bending over the soap voluntarily, huh, Mr. Dizzle?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's why he was mad at Floyd, I think, because, you know, him and Floyd used to work together at a club or something. Doing
right.
He made a pass. I read somewhere that he made a pass at Floyd, and Floyd rejected his offer. And I think that's why the attention on why he didn't like him, you know what I mean?
Okay, enlightenment, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all righty. But however, you know, if you're saying that Chauvin did this here to himself to get out of the general population and also, too, to get sympathy from the public and inside the system as well, too.
It could be that. Okay.
Okay. That sounds reasonable.
We can't rule that out, at least. I'll just say, to be fair, we can't rule that out.
Yes, sir. Okay. Now, what do you have to say in response to this here solution? And then we're going to go to Joe Gibson. Okay, solution. What do you have to say in response to Mr. Dizzle's comments that he just made?
Okay. Would you recite the comment again for me?
Basically, what he's saying is, man, is that Chauvin, man, you know, was up there picking up the soap willingly, man, and he probably got tired of that, man, being on the receiving end of such things, if you catch my drift, and he probably slashed himself, man, to get out of the general population. It's pretty much, you know, the premise of what Mr. Dizzle is making right here as well, too.
Yeah, I think that may be a little bit of comic relief. Policemen are known for getting the short end of the stick if they're in the general population. I didn't hear all of that, but if he is, usually they isolate police just
mm-hmm.
for their own safety. So is he in? Mm-hmm. Is Chauvin in the general population, or was he just did someone just seek him out?
He was
that's
in a
the, that's the thing. I'm pretty sure he wasn't in general population. And typically when you're at a federal prison, especially of a medium security, it's usually not a lot of ruckus and rah-rah like that. Typically.
Okay.
Maybe the yes, Arizona sir. Spot, you know what I'm saying? I'm hearing that maybe they're a little bit more rowdy. But typically when you're in medium and it's federal prisons usually aren't all that violent like compared to a state prison. They're usually more chill because the nature of most of the people that's going to be doing time there typically is not going to be violent. You know, it's going to be like some kind of frauds or, you know, it's going to be stuff that doesn't, especially if it's minimum, but even in a medium. So, you know, to me, it's like, that's why there has to be more to the story. And just from some of the stuff that I've read about, dude, you know, I don't think it's far-fetched to think that there was a lover quarrel going, or maybe he was trying to harm himself to get the attention of the lover that didn't really want him. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, women do that, so bitches do that, and he's a police officer with bitch tendencies because, you know, he's crazy on the weak and vulnerable, so
right. It's
not far-fetched to me that something like that would be more than likely.
Well, I didn't follow the case real closely, but is it confirmed that he is in a federal and not a state prison?
Yeah,
yes, that is correct. He's definitely in a federal prison down in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah. Well, I agree with the gentleman that just spoke. The federal prisons usually, I don't know if you said this or not, that's usually like white-collar criminals. They're not exceptionally violent and or mentally ill. They found that many men in prison are mentally ill, so they're housing the mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I would say that he's one of them, honestly. I mean, you choke a guy for 9 minutes straight for nothing, you've got to be fucking mentally ill. You think like that's – like if we're not going to put that in the mental ill category, what is the mental ill category then? You know what I'm saying? So, honestly, I do believe him.
And
a lot of officers. I think a lot of officers. I think they pretty much – I think when they – when they profile officers, mentally ill in some capacity is okay. As long as the capacity of violence and not really and even taking race out of it, like police officers, they do not know the Constitution. If you watch any of these audio videos, you see like overwhelmingly they do not know the fucking Constitution and or they're willing to violate it they're willing to violate it based on their emotions. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, think about that.
Yep,
because their ego,
yep.
their ego gets bruised. Now they're willing to violate the Constitution, which they took an oath to, and they call themselves law enforcement. Like that, that's
yes.
that in itself is ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely. And let me just say this: I'm going to say this as an overarching issue, if I may, and that is this: this is why people that will should empower themselves, and just usually people who have an attorney in the criminal justice system or the legal system, period, they get better treatment. So that, especially for men, I like to see men of all walks empowered. And a lot of people marry themselves to the problem, and you'll notice they just restate the problem. It's a constant restating of the problem, not a solution. You know, it's like I was telling Shabaka earlier, stay out of trouble with the law, which is not that hard to do. Empower yourself by getting as much capital as you can, because money is a defense. Now, some people would disagree with that, would say they don't know what the hell they're talking about in the real world. But hiring an attorney, whether it's a civil or a criminal, and particularly a criminal matter, your chances are much better at being treated fairly in the system, you say?
I mean, that's like, you kind of like, not double talk, but you prove your own point, yeah. Empowering yourself economically is definitely going to be a better defense. Like, literally, it's going to be a better defense because you can actually afford defense, you know what I mean? And
exactly.
the way the system is set up, it's going to favor those with money
right.
A lot more. It's incentivized for that. Like, this is why... Like many of the different violations that we get charged for, it's all about economics. About, you know, you pay
yes,
this ticket, you pay this ticket, you pay this fine, you pay this fee for this type of licensing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to retain a lawyer costs money. To be able to go through the system, and you're losing time that
mm-hmm.
you should be earning the income. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, of course, it's going to be advantageous to those who have those resources. So to be able to acquire those resources would definitely increase our odds at being successful when we're maneuvering through.
Right. Now,
yeah,
now see, a lot of people don't want to go there, but I do. And what I say to men particularly, and to a degree women, but particularly men, because men don't have a shot at anything if they're broke or what they call a scrub or a buster, right?
Yeah.
So I encourage men to look. And this impacts everything in a man's life. You do the 3 to 5 years of 60 to 80 hours a week. You stack up your money. You get completely out of debt. And whatever money you earn from that juncture on, from that point on, is yours. So you're self-empowered. Now, a lot of people
mm-hmm.
don't talk about this, but anybody that's successful, that is an underlying theme. And see, just to tell men to get out there and expect to be safe and this kind of trouble is going to find you. But you have to kick trouble in the ass. And there's a way to kick trouble in the ass.
Well,
you can't
it
stupidly, but
no,
you can certainly
agree
do
with
it.
You. I agree with you. I don't want to give the impression that money alone is going to inoculate you from a systematic system of racism, but it will.
And
be
I never
correct.
Said that.
I know you didn't, but I know that that's kind of implied. At least some people may take it that way. So I just wanted.
Well, let me tell you what will, if you don't mind. What will is the intelligent use of money and the intelligent behavior of a person that will
mm-hmm.
ensure as much as can be ensured. That will ensure one's safety overall. No, money doesn't answer all the issues. And if I gave that impression, I don't mean it. It doesn't answer them.
I'm not saying you gave the impression. I'm saying I know that some people will hear that. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. I'll say this as an add-on. If people earn sufficient amounts of money, I think pretty much everything else will fall in place. And the reason for that
mm-hmm.
is one is never just earning money. They're learning,
mm-hmm.
sacrificing their time. They learn to protect their money and themselves. That's part of being an adult. I guess you've heard the old bromide, a man can lose a lot of money chasing women, but he won't lose any women chasing money. And I think
if I may interject on that there, Solution, there's another saying where I come from out of South Central L.A. that says that's why they're called tricks.
See, let me say, people, when they get together, they don't really talk about real solutions. They just talk. They may talk at something, or they talk about a problem that they tend to be wedded to, but they don't talk about real, true living, freedom. And like this conversation that we're having here, I would say this is a spiritual conversation, at least so far, and it's a progressive conversation. And this is what successful people do. This is what they engage in. Now, they may have a little drink or something to accompany it, but this is a form of enjoyment more than anything else. Go ahead.
And then, too, man, then it gives people from different backgrounds the opportunity to talk. You see what I'm saying? Is because, like, you have a lot of whites out there who would make these asinine comments, you know, about inner city life, but you did not come up in the inner city. You see what I'm saying? And I'm fortunate enough, man, to have traveled around all kind of cultures in my lifetime as long as I've been on this planet. And, you know, and the years are piling up, you know, on me. So this is why for the generations after me, with my people, I have to relate to them what I've lived through, you see, to let them know that, hey, man, I'm sure that this here happened, although the history book is going to tell you this, okay? Just like I had to tell Joe Gibson one time on his platform, if he respected the fact is that Martin Luther King had made the statement prior to his death, is that he said, I'm afraid I led my people into a burning house with the concept of integration. He said this about 3 months before he was killed. All right. Mm-hmm. Then also, too, he was about to lead a poor people's campaign on Washington in 1968, I believe, in the summer, because, you know, you had a presidential election that came up. And then this is when you had a guy by the name of Old Tricky who became elected. And what was Tricky's campaign, people? And he proved to be the biggest hypocrite in 1974, law and order. Now, why did Tricky come up with law and order? It's because you had a certain organization and organizations, plural, that were exercising their Second Amendment rights, and these individuals were not white. You see what I'm saying? So that was the law and order that he was going after. And then the heavyweight champion of the world at that time that says, no, I'm not traveling no 3,000 miles to go kill some people. They ain't never called me the NGR term. They ain't never hung my people and castrate our men, folks, or raped our women. You see, these are some pretty cold hard facts that the heavyweight champion had made at that time. So what they did, you know, he had sacrificed his prime years to move his point, but he still
went
on.
That's why we love him. That's why we love him even more than the Bunkin. He stood on business.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
He
sacrificed
that shit. He lost the best years of his boxing career, man. I watch old Muhammad Ali. Ain't no motherfucker ever wore gloves that could touch that dude, man.
Oh, wow. Yes, sir. And I was there in his second reign, man, when he had made his comeback, because I was a tiny tot, you know, in his first reign. You see, but I remember him in his second reign. And I remember as a kid, you know, this guy came on TV talking all this stuff on a morning talk show, and everybody was calling up to the show. Everybody was enthused that he was there. And I said, Mama, who was that? She says, oh, that's Ali. He's the heavyweight champ. So I went on there and checked him out and saw the man had a pair of hands on him, and he was a heavyweight with the speed of a lightweight. You know, he was elusive as a hummingbird, and he could get out of more tricks than a locksmith. You know what I'm saying?
Shabaka, you said Tricky Dick. Is Tricky Dick Richard Nixon? Is that the same person?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's Tricky. Yes, sir. That's Tricky.
Well, Shabaka, let me do a quick summary of what you just said.
Yeah.
First of all, the civil rights movement, I would say it was one of the most successful movements in American history, at least in recent history.
Let me throw a flag. Okay, hold on. You're right of what you're saying, but you have two movements at that time. You had the civil rights movement and the black empowerment era. Yeah, go ahead. Finish your statement. Okay, but I just want to be clear on that. Okay, go right ahead.
The
civil
rights movement, because they actually got laws passed. And the civil rights movement was so successful that other groups patterned their movements after it, i.e. the women's movement and also the gay rights movement or the homosexual movement. They patterned their movement after the civil rights movement. Now, the thing of it is, a lot of times, and very few people discuss this, some people don't know what to do with freedom. See, we live in a competitive world. It's always going to be competitive. You can see the world as divided between, like, teams, different teams of people, usually socioeconomic classes, because people in the same socioeconomic class, and a lot of people don't want to acknowledge this, but it doesn't matter. People in the same socioeconomic class, for all intents and purposes, move the same way. They use the same professionals and so on and so forth. But my point is simply this. The civil rights movement was extremely successful based on its imitation of other groups who had no real connection to it. And the people who receive freedom don't know how to exercise that freedom. And that's a separate issue. So I would say that the civil rights movement, there was a great injustice being done. No one would deny that. No one. However, it's not that way today. Now, one can go around and cherry pick.
Are you sure Solution is not that way today, man? Come on, man.
Go ahead and let.
Come
it's
on.
Not that way. Look, it is a. It is 180 degrees out from the way it was in the prior to the civil rights. In other words, Martin Luther King. If Martin Luther King were here today, I think he would applaud what has happened. You have people in college. You have people that are professionals of all sorts. It just takes hard work today, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that. Like right now, you and I, I could give you the formula for success for virtually anybody. There are even people that are handicapped, that are disabled, become successful, okay? So, I listen to you, and that's one reason I call in, is to just kind of say, would you be willing to consider this another way? Now, if you want to marry and stay married forever to a notion that you are being hunted down like an animal,
you can say that.
We're not going to do that. You're not going to gaslight
See, this is a very, very real problem, Solution. I just want to read something right here, and I'm sure Brother Che and Brother Jay will understand it. So will Joe and Sarge, okay? Point number 7. We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. We want all police and special agents to be excluded and restricted from school premises. You see what I'm saying? Okay, now, when this organization was around, and they were contemporaries with the SCLC and Dr. King's civil rights movement, see, they shadow banned them from history. You see what I'm saying? You don't see nothing about them, man, like when CNN goes to all the special news reports, man, of the 1960s. You didn't see these guys. Oh, they showed you Dr. King. Yeah, they didn't even show you the heavyweight champ when he refused induction. They showed you the assassination of President Kennedy. Okay, they showed you the assassination of his brother 5 years later in Los Angeles. Okay, they did very little on the war in Vietnam. They didn't show the heavyweight champion in 1967 when he refused induction. You see what I'm saying, Solution? So what I'm saying is guys like me, guys like Brother Jay and guys like Brother Che and Krumer. You see, we the ones that's bringing you the history, man, that they trying to erase. You see, mm-hmm. and we get ridiculed. We get hate mail, man. You know what I'm saying? People even will call me up and threaten me and all this old type of stuff. You see what I'm
right.
saying? But one thing that I will be damned, I cannot go before the ancestors, man, holding my head held high. I cannot go before the Almighty in divinity and hold my head high and say, oh, I didn't, you know, relate to the generations after me of what I've lived through. No, 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 no. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
Right, Shabaka, let me say this to you. And,
okay,
and I
hold
sorry
on, Solution. Let me... Okay, hold
no,
on.
I'm sorry,
okay,
go
hold
ahead.
On, Solution. I have to do two more sentences, then I'm going to listen to you. This
okay,
is why,
sure,
man,
sure.
On the continent, man, you know, when the Griot would come down, man, and relay the knowledge, okay, Joe don't believe me on this, but we know for a fact that it does, and Brother Dizzle and Brother Che will tell you, is that when the Griot would come down, he will relate the story of the people, rather if it's the Ashanti, rather if it's the Zulu, Igbo, you know what I'm saying? That can go on and on and on. And he will be there 2 and 3 days, 48 to 72 hours. And he's telling you, man, that once I finish relating this, man, I'm gone for the next 3 years. So you need to get all your notes right now because he will not repeat himself. But on the Eurocentric doctrines, you see, they manipulate stuff. They omit stuff. Like they tell you, well, George Washington was also great, but George Washington was a raping, slave trading pedophile, man, just like Thomas Jefferson. You see what I'm saying? Just like all of them was. You see, and then even Lincoln himself had stated Solution, and you told me this, is that Lincoln said that if I could not free slaves to keep the Union intact, I would do it. But for me to disarm the South, this is why I signed the Emancipation Proclamation. It's not because he loved black folks, man. What he wanted to do was to have the upper edge with the industrial economy of the North versus the agricultural economy of the South. This is why reparations is demanded and is needed. Of course, we know there's going to be a whole lot of tricknology out of there. Che, myself, Brother Dizzle right here, every other black man out here, and black woman, no, 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 no. Man, our blood was shed on this land to build this land.
Right.
Same thing,
right.
Not only in the United States, but also, too, in Brazil, also, too, on the continent of Hispaniola, which includes Puerto Rico and, Haiti and the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, you see what I'm saying? Barbados, you know, I can go on and on and on. Brazil and the Portuguese, you know, they were some very, very cruel slave traders. They didn't enslave until 1888 in Brazil. You see, so when you hear us talk about reparations, you see what I'm saying? This is what we're talking about. Like I tell Joe Gibson all the time, the slave owner back in 1767, okay, he bought a slave. He bought two slaves. And he might have got an old, broke-down old so-and-so like Shabaka. Half his grill is gone, you know what I'm saying? He's over the age of 60. Shabaka's worth about $50. Okay. Brother Che, much younger than Shabaka, better shape. Okay, well, Brother Che, you know, he's a couple hundred dollars. Brother J, another couple of hundred dollars. You see what I'm saying? Oh, but we got this jewel right here. Oh, she is 18 years old, $2,500. Why?
So,
because
on
she breeds. Yes, sir. Exactly. Just like what Oscar Brown Jr. says on his record called Bid 'Em In. That used to be our intro a few years back, you see. So, therefore, when you guys get hit with these facts and these dump supporters as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay, and also, too, about that transvestite down there in Florida, I said who wears women underwear by the name of the panties, he's sick, okay, these fools are coming up with a favorite out there, a fervor, they're out to kill us. And it's our human right and our God-given right, you know, for us to defend ourselves. And that's why God gave all the living creatures a means of self-defense. Running is your first line of self-defense. Look at Sister Harriet Tubman of what she did. Hey, I freed so many slaves, you see, but imagine how many more I would have freed had they would have realized that they were slaves. Just like what the X-Man has stated in one of his lectures, you had Field Negro and you had the House Negro. You see, so it's a whole lot of damage out there. Okay, solution, I go on and yield it to you, man. You listen to me.
Well, Shabaka, what I would like to say, it seems like, just from what you're explaining, and forgive me for being a little bit personal, but it sounds like you're in a lot of pain and you carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. Now, I don't know how large your shoulders
are. We always hear this.
I don't know how large your shoulders are, but if you want to do that and you don't want to do anything else, no one can stop you. But there's an old aphorism that says, when a person changes the way they look at a thing, the thing changes. Now, I would say this to you, and I would go into war with Sarge because I believe he's just that honorable and capable. But if Sarge and I would like to have a conversation with you, Shabaka, if you so choose, and anyone else who like you, because there are answers to the problems that you raise. But I notice you just keep piling on. Now, what I can do, personally, I can't stop it from raining, but I can provide you an umbrella, right? I can give you some indemnification if you want it, because there are answers to the plethora, the deluge of problems that you raise. There are answers to them. But see, you just keep piling on, and I'm like, wait a minute. Let's just deal with – let's eat an elephant one bite at a time. If you're having problems with the police work for someone. You can get a group of people – and get an attorney, a good civil litigator, or any really good attorney. And they can help you address these issues if you're having issues with the police. Now, one is going to need resources. And you can start to rectify things a bite at a time. If the police are bothering you, it's got to be done within the guidelines of the law. And that's the reason I'm saying get an attorney. You get several people that agree with you that the problem is the way it is, and then you address it. Now, ultimately, if a problem is just intractable, one may have to move. And that's what capable people are able to do. After a certain amount of time and a certain amount of effort, they say, you know, this is just a crazy place. I've got to relocate to a better place. But up and until that, we can talk about ways to resolve some of the problems that you raise. Because you just, you build a mountain of problems. I just sit back and I listen to you, and you just throw in historical problem after historical problem. Now, I think a lot of problems have been adequately addressed. The mechanisms that have been provided just have to be implemented, right?
Okay.
Yeah, you can have an account at a bank, but if you don't go there and access it, you don't benefit from the proceeds. So I would say, and I would trust that Sarge would, or I'll do it by myself. It would be great to have Sarge, but I don't need Sarge. But
okay,
I could deal with one issue at a time. I say you list three of your major issues that you don't have a problem to and that you want a solution to, and let's go at the problem. I have no compunctions about that whatsoever.
Okay, solution, hold on to that thought. Okay, we're checking our mail here in the chat room. Okay, we got Ron Reck right here. It's always a pleasure, Ron. Freedom is not free. Okay, we also, too, got Joseph Gibson. He says, now, according to Joe here, some of the most violent federal prisons in the U.S., United States Penitentiary Administrative Maximum Facility, Florence, Colorado. Yeah, I've heard Brother Jay talk about that. Okay, a place that I visited. The Twin Towers Correctional Facility, the Los Angeles County Men's Central Jail. And the thing is about the Twin Towers, it was originally scheduled to be a state prison until the earthquake happened in 1994 and the old Central Jail crumbled, and then the state of California said they didn't want to be bothered with it, and the county of L.A. took it over. Okay, Holman Correctional Facility, Escambia County, Alabama. U.S. Penitentiary, Beaumont, Jefferson County, Texas. And then, of course, the classic place, one of California's oldest prisons, right across the Golden Gate Bridge, commonly referred to as Q, San Quentin, where they executed Tookie Williams. And also, too, where they executed Carol Chaseman to find out he was innocent. And that's also the same place that they executed Barbara Graham to find out that she was innocent. And then Orleans Parish Prison down there in New Orleans, Louisiana, Penitentiary of New Mexico at Santa Fe, and then, of course, Florence, Colorado. Okay, Joe, very, very great knowledge that you have right there. We have an unmuted mic from an unknown phone number here. Also, too, we got 573. The last three is 4444. Just press one. Be happy to unmute your mic. Okay, for this unknown number that we got unmuted, 111-4141. Is that Sarge?
I may be late, but I just want you to know I ain't scared of you whatsoever.
Yes, sir.
Well,
thank you.
I ain't scared of you whatsoever.
It took you long enough, Sarge.
I'm just letting you know. I got separated. You know
okay,
what I mean? When you become
Sarge.
Separated from your unit, you got to make your way back.
Yes, sir, Sarge. Okay, Sarge, we heard you earlier on Joe's program, and that's why we issued you a direct order that you did obey, man, to show up here at 2100 hours. And you did.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And I ain't scared of you. No matter what you done said, I ain't scared of you. I'm just saying.
Okay, Sarge. Yeah, no, but I'm scared of you, Sarge. I mean, you know, you got a way of working napkin holders, man, and stuff like that, man. Yeah. You know, I mean, you got a way of taking them down here, Sarge. Now, the first thing, Sarge, I want to talk about with you, because you're right there in the city of Chicago with that no-good mayor who needs to go on there and reside, and I don't understand how he's got a bunch of migrants, Sarge, sitting there in public facilities and then going to go out there on the south side and tell the kids they can't play football at their place because he's making room for
on
these
the
illegal
side.
Immigrants? Yeah, mm-hmm. on the west side as well, too. Okay, and I think...
Wait a minute. That's bad. I will agree with you. But you heard his latest outrage that this fool had the nerve to say just today.
Yeah.
Did you hear what this dummy, this moron, this imbecile, this fool had the nerve to say today?
Who is this imbecile?
He talking about?
Let's go, Brandon. I'm talking about Let's go, Brandon.
Man, he's a straight buster.
Let's go,
man.
Brandon Johnson.
Call his ass, man. Yeah. He needs to go, man. You know, I mean, he's tainting the memory of the great mayor of Chicago, the one and only Richard J. Daley. You know what I'm saying?
Well, not only that
they have certain traditions there. Yeah, but go ahead, Sarge.
Well, today he got up there and said that the problems in Chicago are largely due, get this now, to right-wing MAGA extremists.
Okay.
I ain't lying. That's what he said.
Okay.
Now,
wait a minute. You got to understand something.
The last Republican mayor of Chicago was elected in 1931. You hear what I'm saying? 1931.
Yeah.
It's been governed ever
years.
Since by demon rats. Ever since.
Yeah.
And number demon rats.
Yeah.
Now, let's go, Brandon is so stupid that I'm starting to miss Beetlejuice, old Beetlejuice, Lori Lightfoot, and her big dick.
Okay. All righty. Well, the thing is that I'm seeing with this guy, man, Brandon in Chicago, you know, he's up there, man, you know, blaming everything on the previous administration of Lori Lightfoot. And as a matter of fact, man, you know, I learned this here from Brother Che to pull up here, you know, some news. Okay. Washington Examiner. Chicago's Let's Go Brandon Johnson blames Lori Lightfoot for international crisis he inherited. Johnson is blaming the growing migrant crisis on Chi-Town on Lori Lightfoot, saying he inherited the influx of immigrants from the previous administration. Johnson criticized Lightfoot during a press conference on Tuesday, announcing the Unity Initiative, an interfaith partnership between 17 churches, agreeing to take immigrants in from police stations. Now, get this, people. They got the immigrants staying at the police stations. Now, let homeless black people walk off into the police station and say, hey, Mr. Officer, you know, I'm homeless. Can I camp out right here? And watch how fast that they will either have his ass whooped or locked up in the county jail for vagrancy. Okay, ah, the hypocrisy. Okay, like many Democratic-led cities, and you know, Bud, Governor Bud of Texas, when they crossed the border down there at the Rio Grande, he's putting them on a bus load, man, heading straight to all the demo cities. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he's hitting Panther Town. I'm sure he's hitting SF as well, too. But Chicago has received 20,000 immigrants over the last 14 months from southern border states. Thousands of these immigrants are staying in airports and police stations as the Johnson administration looks to put up permanent housing before winter. Okay, now see, people, me personally, I got a problem with this, okay, is because in Chicago, a lot of our people are homeless right there who were born and raised there. You see what I'm saying? And then when that breeze, and Sarge will tell you, when that breeze comes off them Great Lakes next month, man, that cold wind will cut you like a razor, okay? So therefore, you're going to have people dying out right there. You see what I mean? So therefore, need to get out of town, Brandon. He need to tell all these scrubs, hey, man, hit back the border, you know what I'm saying, and let the great state of Texas know, let old Bud know that we will not be accepting no immigrants coming from the great state of Texas. You see what I'm saying? And then go to the same place at the Chicago Police Department facilities, have them put cots in there, have them put warm blankets in there. They need to do the same thing in Denver, Colorado as well, too. And and then that mayor of New York City, from what I understand, man, that he's having sexual problems, so they need to go on and get rid of his bum ass, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and arrest him, you know what I'm saying? Get him out of office, you know, as soon as possible. He didn't even want to talk to his own people. You see? So what's happening is, people, is that the mindset of the black politician, okay, and the black business mind, they got to get out of this all-inclusiveness, okay? Got to do for self. Now, it's all right, you know, to be inclusive, but you got to make sure you're taking care of your people first. You see what I'm saying? Straight up, you know? Straight up. I mean, over there in San Francisco, you know, the Chinese take care of their people first. I ain't mad at them for that. Not in the least. You see what I'm saying?
Shabaka, yeah. The man blamed right-wing extremists for the rules of Chicago. Now, let me tell you something, Shabaka. There ain't three right-wing extremists left in all of Chicago, even if you count the two right-wing MAGA extremists that beat up Jussie Smollett at 3 o'clock in the morning. There ain't three right-wing extremists in the whole damn city.
Besides, Jussie Smollett, man, paid for that, man. He's an actor, man. He staged that. You see what I'm saying?
No kidding. You're kidding me. You mean it's not all legit? Hey, you got to be kidding me, man. I thought he actually had beat up Dan the Subway at 3 o'clock in the morning, 24-0 weather, by two white guys who just happened to have some bleach to throw on it. I thought that actually happened.
Really? Who the hell is going to Subway?
You mean it was a lie? It didn't happen. Say it ain't so.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
Lord have mercy.
You've been hoodwinked. Oh, you got your head bumped. You've been lied to,
man.
You see what I'm saying?
I see another hand up here.
Out of 301. Okay, that's great. That's beautiful.
I might never recover from this. I might never recover from this.
Black power, comrades.
I'm
Black
so
power. What's up, Sarge? I got a piece of the Brooklyn
I'm
Bridge.
So
I'm,
like,
brother.
Wait a minute, man. You got to say, these people just got through telling me that the Jesse Smollett thing was a hoax. I can't believe it. I'm crestfallen. I'm crushed. I'm devastated.
Okay,
if you're that adamant about it, maybe we can look up his address and go beat him up for real.
Man,
after it's all said and done, let's understand who the enemy is here. This isn't a white or black thing. Anything to do with anything but right or wrong. And the people that are behind this shit that have pushed diversity amongst us to fight with each other more than anybody are these Zionist pricks.
Okay, sir, who are you, sir? And are you calling from 234, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Mr. Stanley, and I'm calling from the great land of LeBron James, Akron, Ohio, and his school.
Oh, well, rest in power to Jalen Walker. The police shot him over 60 times, and all the pigs got off that was involved in it.
Well, let me tell you about what happened with that, because I know a very good, actually a real close acquaintance happens to be in the investigation with that. They don't tell you that he shot at the cops. They don't tell you the night before that he ran previously. He was on a felony fleeing from one county to the next. They caught him in Akron. He took off. He shot back at him getting on the highway. Now he's already shooting at him. He runs through a roadblock, hits the cars, and he can't get out of the driver's side of his car. So that's why when you see the video, he's trying to get out of the passenger side, and they tried to tase him twice. Hey, that guy had a death wish, and he had problems with his old lady, and she was from, I believe, Atlanta, or was down in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care if you're white, black, green, yellow. You know, these guys start shooting at everybody. Shooting at everybody. What the hell they expect? My problem is, like I said, if we got eight cops, and that's how many of them there was, eight of them, they shot over, I think it was 98 or 99 rounds total, and they hit him 60 times, and they can't even tell how many of them were through and through. So here's my problem. What kind of training are these cops getting that they're shooting at the background, that the innocent people in the houses? And I lived two blocks from where that happened, right in Bridgestone's parking lot where I worked at for almost 18 years. How about the backdrop and the poor marksmanship of the cops?
Now let me ask you this. Now, what about the cops down there in Louisville, Kentucky? You know where the former heavyweight champ is from.
Yeah.
Okay, when they murdered Breonna Taylor, shot her in the bed, and then on top of that, served a warrant at the wrong friggin' address. Now, all four of them jokers belong in jail, including the supervisor, and including the one that went up there and certified the warrant, including, which means it had to been signed by a judge, right? Yeah. They need to hook his ass up as an accessory.
Absolutely right. They're accessory to murder if that's the case. And it's, you know what? That doesn't stop right there in Louisville, Kentucky, as far as I'm concerned. That goes all the way up to the White House. All of them.
Oh, Biden.
You wouldn't get no argument from me on that. None whatsoever.
FBI Director Ray and Mayorkas, those two clowns, I think they're running a cartel.
They probably are, man. In fact, what's our bet, Brother Che, that we got right there, man? You got $100. To put up there to say that this man is wrong and everything that he said was right about there about these corrupt, illegal, trigger-happy race soldiers going out here, man. You know what I'm saying? Now, the only elected official.
Aryan Nation.
Okay. Well, Joseph Gibson will disagree with you. I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. You know, they got their nation or what they're for, and then, of course, I represent the exact opposite. You know what I'm saying?
Let me intervene there. I don't want to call it the Aryan Nation because I'm a white Aryan. I'm a Caucasian. But I will say this. We have been invaded by an Israeli nation. A Zion.
Okay. Aryan Nation doesn't mean Caucasian. Aryan Nation means KKK thinking individuals. It has nothing to do with white folks. It has nothing to do with white folks.
Did you say Aryan?
Are you Aryan Nation? Are you Aryan Nation? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No,
okay, well, don't claim them. Well, then don't claim them.
Make this very,
okay,
very clear.
Right. Let you know. Don't claim them.
I hate everybody equally.
There you go.
You know what? I hate the people that need to be hated, and that's the ones that are running this country into the ground that have taken control over the children. They've taken control over the media and the government and the judicial system because they have let lawlessness and they have driven a wedge in between the whites and blacks because they have been hiding behind people like us their entire existence. That's the only way that they survive is they start wars, they fund them, and they hide behind them. They don't pick up a shovel to go to work. They don't pick up a gun to go to war. Fuck them.
Oh, you're right about that, though.
They call the shots.
And are you from wherever the Aryan place is? Where is that? I'm from Akron, Ohio.
Akron, Ohio.
Okay, well that doesn't sound like Aryan, Ohio to me.
Absolutely not. No.
When you're going to areas like Montana and the Dakotas and Idaho, man, and up in northern Utah, you're in the stronghold right there.
They have compounds up there.
Well, even Indiana, Sabato.
How about you all believe the same thing?
You believe the same prodigy as them? I mean, you guys should get along with
each other. What are you talking about? How?
Because we want to preserve a future for the...
Isn't that what they want?
Isn't that
what they want?
No, hate for the people is not what we want. Okay, gentlemen, please. And for black babies, we're like, what's wrong with preserving your people? We're the black equivalent of them because we want to preserve a future for our people and for
there's
our babies.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's nothing wrong with them wanting to preserve their people either.
Okay,
what's wrong with that?
Okay,
may I interject on that, brother?
Yeah. Go ahead, Dynamite. Yeah, that's it.
I'll be real brief.
Yes, sir.
Love for your people. I mean, come on. We don't hate nobody. They don't love nobody but white folks that think like them. If you don't think like them, they're not gonna love you either.
Do you think Adolf Hitler was a racist? Do you think he was a racist? And he was
No, I'm making a point.
I'm making a point right now. The point is that we are for love of our people and justice for everybody. Because like Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So how can a person who hates get along with somebody who loves? You know, it's impossible. You can't mix devils with angels. Matter of fact, I just got a scripture in my head. When Christ was tempted, right? When the devil said, "All that down there belongs to me," you know, and I give it to whoever I want, you know. And Christ said, "No, depart from me," you know, and because you don't own nothing. My Father in heaven owns everything. But here's the point. As soon as the devil departed, and y'all can look this up, and you'd be like, wow, he remembered that. crazy, isn't it? The devil departed, and angels appeared. You can't have us both in the same place at the same time. So someone who's talking about hate, then I'll get on them. You know?
I don't understand.
Do you hate the Mexicans? Do you hate the Mexicans because they came over the border looking for a better life? Do you hate the Chinese?
No, I don't want them in this country. I don't want them in this country because they're cowards. They're running from tyranny.
Maybe you would get along just fine with those Aryans, though, because we wouldn't.
Why don't people stand up and fight for their country?
Yeah, you fled to this country, though.
If you guys, if we can't have angels and demons together, no angels and demons. How can you have Judeo-Christian? Because Judaism and Christianity, being how they're both founded through Judaism, They have completely.
Wait. You're going to have to back that up. Hold up. I'm very, very, very well versed in this. You're wrong. I'll just put it like
Judaism,
that. Unless you're talking about
inconsistency.
Two quick questions, and I'm going to mute. One, have you ever heard of Emperor Constantine?
Absolutely.
Probably not. Oh, you have? Okay, well, then you know that
you
what you said
Lafayette?
Was wrong, because Christianity came from two places. Have you ever heard of the Council of Nicaea? But it's okay. Let me educate you real quick. The Council of Nicaea, they're the ones that declared Christ as
kingdom.
We can sing together, but in perfect harmony, but I doubt if we can talk together and get a syllable in.
One at a time.
Judaism is the study. They believe in the light bearer, Lucifer. That is their god. People don't realize
that. No, now you're bullshitting again. You're talking to somebody that knows this shit. You're fucking around and telling the listening audience some bullshit. And I'm here to correct you on your bullshit. Like I said, why don't you mute him so I can finish? Or I'm going to mute you my way, and I know you don't want that because I'm a Black Panther. You dig?
Okay.
And we're not no hate group. Before you
go ahead, and before
you think that I don't have comrades in Akron, Ohio, you better watch what you're saying.
All right,
we
don't need to go there with that nonsense. Come on now.
I'm just going to make a very good point. I make a good point, and I'm going to leave it alone. But I thought that you don't mute yourself. Do I need to have some Panthers come over there in Akron, Ohio and mute you?
Come on over. 129 West Boston.
Oh, I knew you.
We should not be talking over each other. Oh, okay. Wait a minute, though.
But you triggered me with that Lucifer shit. Plus, you're giving the people the wrong message. Lucifer ain't got jack to do with Christianity or Judaism, dumbass. That come from Judah. Judah's black. Judah ain't white. I know you brainwashed into thinking everything is white, but Judah is black. Have you ever read the Psalms of David, sir? I am black but beautiful, oh ye daughters of Jerusalem. Huge. That's Judah. Ain't got nothing to do with your light bearer and Satan. Okay, I'm done.
Can we go in turns here? No, we need to let
Sarge talk to him. Sarge, get him. Sick him.
I've been sitting back waiting for an opening. So, you know, whenever I'm going to let Sarge handle this one.
Okay. I'm sorry, right. brother. I mean, Aryan Nation, man. I can't call you a brother. But if you start talking about Lucifer and light bearers and all that nonsense, I'm going to have to get on you. But as far as my comrades in Ohio, all you got to do is come down to the shopping center tomorrow with all that lip.
I'm not even arguing with you.
Okay, why you keep over talking me?
I didn't.
Is very disrespectful.
I was telling the other guy to be quiet.
If you was in my presence, you would get it. If you was in my presence,
you would
shut up.
Listen, you don't put that with me. Don't mess with me. Don't say nothing.
I'm not messing with you, sir.
Pump your brakes.
I hate to do this.
I apologize, Chewbacca. I don't know where you where this guy came from. He decided to come on when I came on.
Hey, hold on, Dynamite. Okay, hold on. Okay, hold on, hold on. Please don't nobody hang up because we're getting ready to go off in overtime. Okay, so this is why we have our co-host with us right there. Okay,
yes,
all right. Okay, and
Before all this went down, I was going to tell a story about how the Aryans really came about. So,
okay. All right, I'm muting back in. Okay, go ahead, brother. Go ahead, brother Chad. I'm muting everybody back in. Go ahead.
When Constantine called himself making Jesus Christ, because mind you, there's something that was made up, and there were 16 other Christ before him that were saviors of their people. So when he came with that nonsense about, we all have one God and one father and all this, right? The black people from Kemet and surrounding was like, no, we got a story like that over here. Like all these indigenous cultures were like, look, we got our own story. So no, we're not going to believe that. And when there was a brother named Aries, right? There was a brother named Aries. And he got wind of what Constantine was doing. So when he got wind of it, him and his followers fled into what is now Europe.
Okay.
Guess what they were called?
What's that?
The Aryans.
Okay. All right. Okay. Drop knowledge.
Go all the way back
Come
to Harlem.
Yeah, that's a good fairy tale. That's good.
And Harlem
as well. You got any historical documents?
As a matter of fact, we do have documents. You want to send me your phone number? I will definitely send you a whole bunch of stuff. Blow your mind.
Historical and documents? Yeah, sure. You give my phone number, Chewbacca.
No, because we'll be arguing. I'll be in Ohio, and you won't be talking that shit.
I'm not in Ohio, brother. I'm not in Ohio.
He's in North Carolina,
Dynamite,
and he's running for House of Representative. What is that?
District 13.
Oh, good. Maybe you can make some things happen down there. They're very cruel, brutal,
so,
Donald Mike
was telling all
there.
The people in North Carolina not to vote for him.
I support the Republic and the Constitution of this country, all right? I don't know, like I said, I'm not about no white power or black power or anything like that.
Where was the guy from Ohio? Where did he go?
Just
where did the Aryan Nation guy go? Oh, he got the Aryan good.
Okay, all the mics are back open. But what I'm just saying, Ojo, is that you got to cut the friggin' check, man. You know what I'm saying? Because down in North Carolina, man, a whole lot of our
didn't even know about the woman
and died picking that tobacco down.
You didn't even know about the woman
from North Carolina. Yeah, I'm surprised they're on out there, too, Joe. Yeah, Chase got a point about the Wilmington Massacre that happened there in the late 1970s. Yeah, they shot and killed people there.
Yeah.
Yeah, on TV. That was on the news. Yeah, where you had, you know, like what they did, like with Rosewood down there. Oh, yeah, man, you got a whole lot of history down there in North Carolina, Joe.
In 1979, that you're talking about that, where the Greensboro Massacre, where they got out of the Ku Klux Klan, there was the KKK rally, yeah.
Yeah, and it was the KKK that went out there and killed the protesters on them. Okay, but here's something.
Yeah,
before
that, the one I was talking about was before that. It was in 1898.
Oh, yeah. Well,
within a 100-year realm here? Hey, you want me to get out the history book?
because they did the black section of Wilmington like they did Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma recently, man, and man, and you could just feel that, man, you know what I'm saying? Just like, man, just like the first time I ever crossed the southern United States, driving out there at night by myself, 3 o'clock in the morning, going through Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? And that thing going through my mind that
well,
made me so fucking angry, man.
I'm not denying that.
And that song kept going through my mind, Strange by the one and only Lady
Billie
Holiday.
So how are we going to move forward today, Chewbacca? How are we going to move forward?
Are we going to keep looking at yesterday? Are we going to live in
yesterday?
But Joe, you got to cut the check for the reparations.
How is money? Why would you belittle yourself for money?
Joe,
I don't think money.
I apologize, Joe, for getting you confused with that song.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I apologize.
Okay.
No,
everybody else got reparations. Didn't they get money? Yes or no,
I don't think anyone should get reparations. I mean, the money's fraudulent anyway.
You want real
money, gold and silver?
Joe.
I mean, the Federal Reserve notes are owned by the criminal banking cartels.
That's not what I asked you. I said, didn't all the other groups that got reparations, didn't they get money?
Yes, they did.
If they did, that's wrong. But what groups did get reparations? Are you talking about the Japanese? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they got it. The Japanese, Jews. The fucking natives, the African.
Yeah, you're right.
The poor whites.
Listen, let me say something. If you can trace your exact genealogy to a slave or slave family, and you have roots that are family related, there's people that are not that are going to claim it.
It's not hard to make that distinction. There's records. It's not hard to make that distinction. We know the ones that just came here a generation or two ago, they're not getting it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay,
we know
I agree with you.
This shit is all documented. It's not hard.
That's why it's lineage. It's lineage based. It's not race
based. Yeah, exactly.
That's going to actually help the economy
because unlike all this money that's being given to these immigrants who send it back home, this is our home. We have nowhere else to send it. So it's going to really get back into the economy and stimulate the economy a lot more. I mean, think about the trillions of dollars that we just did on those stimulus packages.
Right.
There's something that every time this argument about reparations comes up, I mean every single time, when you invoke the Japanese internment that was created by the executive order, Franklin Roosevelt, the Democrat, in 1942. Here's the problem. For the most part, the Japanese who were unconstitutionally and illegally detained were citizens of the United States. People who were enslaved were not citizens of the United States or of any state.
Right is right, wrong is wrong.
Justice, that's another argument, but you deliberately invoke the Japanese, and what I'm trying to say is that you shouldn't invoke the Japanese. That's all I'm saying. Don't invoke the Japanese because the two situations, legally and constitutionally, are completely different.
So what? The immigrants aren't citizens either.
The money that's being sent over to Ukraine, they didn't get it for free.
The natives weren't citizens either then. Because there was no one on the ground.
I don't have a problem with the Federal Reserve paying what they have to pay. The natives weren't citizens. They were citizens. Again, here is the difference with the Indians.
See, once again, yes, it does. The Indians were treated as sovereign nations. They were negotiated with by treaty. The Senate ratified a treaty that treated them as foreign nations. That's the difference.
Well, well, after slavery was abolished, then that should have been done.
That is
so
slavery was never truly abolished.
Yeah. Well, even
Chattel slavery was abolished.
Unless you were convicted of a crime, Sarge.
But that's not chattel slavery. Chattel slavery was abolished.
Okay, so inmate number 11111.
If you break the law, you're a slave.
Right.
Why does
cotton
still
down
say
in a state penitentiary in Louisiana somewhere, for real. So that's slavery, man.
Right.
Because the 13th Amendment said if you're convicted
of chattel slavery,
it don't matter if you're doing the same damn task.
Yeah.
Call it what you want to call
it.
It does matter. What does that matter to the person that's enslaved? Nothing.
It doesn't matter to the person, but it matters to the law. It matters to the Constitution. That's what it matters to. Let me tell you why it matters.
Let's keep it real. It's not a matter of constitution.
Wait a minute. Let Jay speak.
Then we go to Sarge. Okay, brother Jay, you got it. Then we're going to Sarge. Okay, go ahead.
We'll just say like this: for all practical purposes, though, that's all semantics. There was an egregious that was done. Everyone knows who it was done to, who did it, and that it needs to be rectified. All the semantics don't matter because it doesn't matter when it comes to other groups. They don't go through all this, you know, juggling and plebiscite babbling to determine if they should pay some people across overseas billions of dollars every year or other people that were aggrieved in this country or people that weren't even aggrieved by this country, like the Jewish people. They weren't aggrieved by the United States. They still get checks. So the bottom line is if they have the funds, they can cut the checks. They have the ability to cut the checks. They could do direct deposit. They could do Bitcoin. They could do land. They could do all kinds of shit. It can be done.
Right.
That's the only thing that really matters. So it's all that extra
shit.
It's not chattel. It's the different. Like, that's just babbling.
Right.
I mean, respectfully, that's just really what it is. It's semantics. The ability is there. The knowledge of who is aggrieved is there. We don't need to do any testing studies. There's money that's circulating.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's been paid out by the trillions within the last 10 years by both sides, Republicans and Democrats.
So the
money is there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So cut the check.
No reparations, no vote.
It would really help the whole America, honestly. Economically
speaking, it would help there. Yeah,
you know, damn well, we're going to put it right back into the. Yeah. We're going to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to buy homes.
Yep.
We're going to buy businesses. We're going to spend with businesses.
Yep.
It's going to get right back into the economy way better than that stimulus package that only went to people who didn't really need it.
Exactly. You see, $1,500.
So it would just
be the right thing to do.
Yeah. You know, be the right. And listen, there's different ways to approach it. I mean, like, there's actual companies that are still around right now that built their wealth on enslaving people. So I know, like, a lot of people just put resistance to the idea that it should be taxpayers' money. I don't necessarily agree it should be tax money. I don't think it needs to be tax money. There's enough companies still around right now that they can be
more.
Yeah, J.P. Morgan, like most of the major banks, insurance companies, railroad companies. We got clothing. Lords of London. We have clothing companies. So.
Yep.
They're still around and they're very, very wealthy. So they can cut
that. That's what that's the study Dr. DeGruy is doing right now, Brother Jay, you know, Dr. George DeGruy, you know, she should be winding down her study because I remember when she said she's going to do it. about 4 years ago. She said it was going to take between 3.5 to 5 years, so she should be winding it down. And I know one thing, I could trace mine back down there, man, to them cotton fields of Alabama. Oh, yeah. And then this is what irritates me.
South Carolina.
Yes, sir. And that's what pisses me off when I look at old Frog Face. Segregation yesterday, segregation today, and segregation tomorrow. Frog Face wasn't lying. Now, the thing is about Frog Face. Now, let me tell you something about Frog Face. Okay, Frog Face expressed how he honestly felt. You see what I'm saying? He did not come to you with prepackaged bullshit like your boy Slick Willie did. He did not come to you with no slick shit like old Tricky Dick said. You know, Tricky Dick get up there, I am not a crook. And what did Tricky Dick say? What his campaign was in 1968. Ladies and gentlemen, we will have law and order in the United States of America. Biggest damn criminal going. You know what I'm saying? Now, and we ain't going to talk about Slick Willie. Slick Willie,
you know what else
about,
he did?
He
you know what else? You know what else? Tricky Dick did.
What's that, sir?
He took the dollar off the gold standard in 1971.
Yeah, he sure did. Yep, yes, sir. He sure did. In 1971, he most certainly did. It's because up to 1971, man, them paper bills that you got in your pocket that are soon to be worthless, man, that you could use for toilet paper, used to say, well, give the bearer of this note on demand $5 in gold, $20 in gold, $100
right.
in gold.
Right. So let's hold on. Let's do a quick economic jewel drop.
Yes, sir.
Just so people can understand the significance of what that means, right?
Yes.
Right. So up until 71, the money was backed by gold, meaning that for every dollar that was in circulation, there had to be equivalent of gold in the treasury. So if there was, for instance, just as an example, if there was $50 billion of gold in the U.S. Treasury, then there could only be $50,000 circulating. Well, not 50,000, that would be ridiculous. $50 billion, there could only be $50 billion circulating in the United States economy. So what that did is created a scarcity. And by default, since our money was backed by gold, this is why after like 1945, all the other countries were like, okay, we're going to use the U.S. dollar as reserve currency, meaning that we all are going to change in the U.S. dollar, like for oil and other worldwide commodities.
Right.
So that strengthened them by default because our money was backed by gold. So the scarcity of that, this is why, like, if you think about it, like in the 60s, you could buy a cheeseburger for a nickel type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, it's not that it's more expensive to make cheeseburgers now. I mean, you're growing a cow and you're growing wheat and shit. It's not more expensive now. It's actually cheaper. It's just the dollar's worth less because in 1971, when he took the dollar off the gold standard, well, that devalued the dollar in itself. But then you multiply that by any time they print more money, which, you know, they just did the last stimulus, and they've done it other stimuluses in 2008 and other times the last few decades. So you're printing more money without anything to back it. So the more you print, the less it's worth. It becomes worthless. This is inflation, the idea of inflation. You know what I'm saying? So now that same, you know what I'm saying? Like I was just watching, I was just seeing, looking at this ad from 1955, something like that. And mortgage was $50 or something like that. $8,000 house. A house.
Yeah, it was less
this
than $100.
This is why they were able to work at the factory with no real education and still be able to own a house. To be able to, the ability to own a house means you have generational wealth. That is the quickest, most utilized way for people to create wealth and generational wealth. It's just by home ownership, something that simple.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So these days, you can't save. You can't save and get ahead because the inflation is higher than, you know, the amount that the bank's going to pay you for a percentage of holding them.
Right.
You have to invest. You have to have other things going on. And
Yeah.
Sometimes when you think about invest, it seems like it's a lot, but it's not. This is 2023, almost 2024. You can get on Cash App and get stocks in Bitcoin and shit. You know what I'm saying? Just learn what it means and just do, you know what I'm saying? You can just do the little bit you can and just understand the game a little bit. It's not going to get you rich overnight, but it's just going to give you leverage and the ability for your money not to lose, spend the purchasing power. You know what I'm saying? And then you get the concept and you start learning more and you run with whatever you come up with. But you have to have different options, and the different options are available. But you have to. You can't just keep your money in the bank. Is not going. Okay, so inflation works like this. I think last year they said inflation was 8%, which is probably cap. I'm telling you right now, it was more than 8%. All right, that's just what they reported. Okay? They don't usually report the actual inflation. So this is what inflation means. let's say you have $100, just because it's easy to do the numbers, in the bank, and you're getting 0.25%. That means at the end of the year, you'll have $100.25, because that's how much the bank is going to pay you to hold the money. Meanwhile, what the bank is doing with your money is they're loaning it out and investing it and making money. Your money, like off of our money collectively, this is how they make money. They invest it. They don't really have it all. Like, if everybody went to the bank, they don't have it. That's why these banks would be collapsing. They don't really have all the
money. Fractional reserve banking.
Fractional reserve banking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really
and
have
just putting it out
so
there.
They, so,
and
so
just
they
putting
only
it out there, Jay, the current prime lending interest rate is 8.5%. Yes, sir.
Here's my point. So at the end of the year, 0.25% is going to mean you're going to have $100.25. Okay, it seems like more, right? Ooh, it's more money. It's more than 100, 125 cents. More money, right?
Hmm.
Inflation is at 8%. So that means you lost purchasing power of 8%. You gained 0.25%, but you lost 8%. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because the money's worth less. What you could buy for 100 this year won't be as much as what you could buy for $100 next year. And the reason you know this is because the gas is going up. Groceries is going up, clothing is going up, you know what I'm saying? Like, cost of living is going up. So you have to you have to be able to invest and look at other different options, and they exist. That's the point. But that fucked up the economy. That killed shit right there.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely stimulate the economy. Mm-hmm. Were you saying it? Yeah, absolutely. I got a quick question, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Okay. The gentleman that's running for office, Joe, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Joe Gibson.
Okay, Joe Gibson. Right. What are you running for?
North Carolina House of Representatives, District 65.
Okay,
he's running state assembly.
Well,
yeah, my name's on the ballot.
One other thing that we really need as a people, and this could be more immediate, anti-hate crime bill for black folks.
Indeed.
That's the other agenda.
Yes.
Two agendas. So the anti-hate crime bill, can you help with that?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
he could
as long as
reason,
with him reason and knowledgeable you know, not something. I mean, I don't know you, you know, and you don't know me. But I'm just saying, if you could articulate something that's recognizable, that where people can talk and debate it and form a committee on it, something like that, sure.
Well, I mean, just like you have the anti-hate crime bill for the Asian hate crime bill.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they have one and we don't have one? You know.
Agree.
So what
I'm
saying is, all you gotta do is take the word Asian out,
the
number, the word black
hate
in.
Why did the Jews get one after that thing, after that massacre in Buffalo? Why did the Jews get one after that?
Yeah,
oh, man.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would say help with that, and if you can show us that you are pushing that, well then I have my support. You know,
well that definitely
and, that and the reparations. But what I'm saying
absolutely.
About the hate crime bill, we
sure.
should be able to get this hate crime bill going now, without
right.
any
we
negotiation.
Can.
I mean, what do you negotiate? A black man is called a nigger and then lynched. A black man called the N-word and then lynched. That's not a hate crime?
No, that's very much a hate crime.
What's still
yeah,
number
we
one?
Need a,
and,
we need a hate crime bill for any of these politicians that sit in these offices and call everybody everything other than American, or if you're an American or you're a patriot, regardless of your color. Mm-hmm. These
look,
corrupt bastards all need to be taken out and showed the
look,
short
we know what neighborhoods Dollar Generals and liquor stores are being put up in. We know. I'm not stupid. And most of the other people understand that, too. So, and they don't need to sell out for a dollar, you know. So I understand all this stuff that's going on. And I don't have a problem with a lot of this stuff that's on the table. I don't.
Okay, but you see, but Joe, but
the
it's the gentleman.
Our kids are done. That's
yeah,
the worst
we see,
thing.
Yeah, that's
affected my, but more
okay,
than
well, Stanley, that's what we refer to as the public indoctrination centers. You see what I'm saying? Okay. And this is why I appreciate the two gentlemen that was out of New Orleans, Louisiana, these two black gentlemen who are PhD candidates, and they were homeschooling black youth. I mean, you know, they went through the proper channels. They were letting the parents know their children are safe and secure. Okay. And they did an experiment. And they graduated a sixth grade class, okay? And do you know that on the state aptitude test for sixth graders, they were number one on that list? So they outdid all the public schools in the whole freaking state of Louisiana.
Shabaka, that's not surprising.
Here in Akron, Ohio, LeBron James owns the I Promise School, okay? Big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. Not
okay, I'm familiar with LeBron James. Yeah, he's the power forward on one of my favorite teams called the Lakers.
Not a single child that's been to that school has passed the same state aptitude test that you're talking about going to that school. Not a single one since its inauguration, and they just printed that up about 2 months ago.
They're calling out LeBron James. Yeah, but you're sticking him out. Listen, it's the government run schools are worse, so it doesn't matter. You know, they're just making that a talking point.
I'm just saying that everybody knows it as LeBron James' thing. But the thing is, how can these kids go to school anywhere and not be have the mentality they can't even pass it right? What did you say? Sixth graders did that and they scored the best.
Yes, sir. Yeah, in the state of Louisiana.
We're talking eighth grade here.
Yeah.
Eighth grade. These guys don't have the education of a third grader. It's sad. It's sad.
Okay. We'll see. But that's just
it. But is it just at LeBron School or is it all the schools
it's
down
the
there?
Schools.
As gentleman Joe was trying to ask you, why are you singling out LeBron James?
No.
Y'all are not being taught correctly.
I will say this. The Akron City school system itself has failed. I think the last 5 years, they've all got Fs. They've torn down more schools than they've put up. They've increased the classroom sizes from 25 to 60. You have one teacher, and you have nothing but problems, and they don't call Akron Little Detroit for nothing. There's no – they have no concentration. You can't learn in an environment like that.
You need to come to West Side and check out a place called Los Angeles and check out another place called Oakland, California. And then when you cross the bay from Oakland, California, going into the Barbary Coast, as in Barbarian.
You
got
to go that far.
I know all about it.
Yeah.
I've been out there.
Yeah.
He's going to Dayton.
Cross that bridge, right?
Why do they let these kids?
You go right over into Dayton, Ohio.
It's a mix. We're 50-50 here.
L.A. is nice.
But here's the thing. Why do these parents let these kids not learn? I mean, we're talking about kids out here running the streets at fucking 13, 14 years old with shears on their handguns.
Because the mother has to go to work. Because the mother and father have to go to work for $9 an hour jobs. That's why.
That's a problem because it's a Democratic city, too.
Okay, well, hold on, Stan.
Well, you can blame your boy, though, George Bush Jr., for No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
That's another criminal right there. That's a criminal. They should be arrested and tried and probably hung from the highest trees if found guilty. But
at this point, shit, they're all in treasonous at this point.
Right.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Right. Can I say one more thing? The guy in Ohio, you just triggered me when you start talking about
his name is
the
Stanley
light bearer and Satan and all that bullshit, because I know all of that shit. I really do. I know all of that shit. But I just want to say no hard feelings. I'm just going to say
no
hard
feelings. Don't worry. I'm not. We're good.
Okay.
Trust me.
I just want to throw that out there. Keep peace and
my
like
black
I say,
friends
would
tell me
love,
they're like, don't
not...
take that shit from that motherfucker right now. That's what I would hear. So here,
if my comrades was
we gotta watch the language because
if those same guys that told you that stuff was around Black Panthers, they would get beat down real fast. Whether they black or white really wouldn't make a difference.
Well, here's what we need to do.
It wouldn't make a difference.
Here's what we need to do. We need to know as a core group There ain't one of us here that sits at the table that eats with the people that are
across. Speak for yourself, homeboy. Speak for yourself. I already told you who I am.
No Jews. I don't sit with no Jews, no Zionists. Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. No, you're right. You're right. I thought you were going to say
that. We don't
have
dinner with people.
We're right to check out all the motherfuckers.
Those people, the ones that study the Judaism and they believe that the pedophiles and the Noahide laws are okay, and that
Talmud,
penis bite
stuff
that
the Talmud.
They do.
The Talmud.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Talmud.
You know, those are the Zionists. Those are your Christian Zionists. That's the ones that want to be the Judeo-Christians. You can't. Those are evil people. They're the ones running this country, this world. They're the ones everybody can't put a name on.
I agree with you on that. I can agree with you on that. They do run the shit. That's for sure.
Because
they
got
all
the
all know that. We all know that. But we're not going to win. You have to be covert
Kazaria.
On things. You know, you can't be openly talking. You've got to think about the Jews because they'll shut you down.
Yeah,
that's how you know.
Right.
That's what they told you.
Well, look what they did today.
Like Voltaire said, whoever you cannot criticize, whoever you cannot speak against, whoever you cannot
tell.
That's who controls you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How about
that? And we are over the target because no more than anywhere in this world we are seeing anti-Semite against them, the laws popping up because they know. Because they're only 2% of the population of the world, they sit in 80% of the seats in power. And that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Media, government, judicial.
Right.
They have influence like
all nine areas they sit in.
No, he has a point on that, man, in regard to the media out there in Los Angeles. Yeah, they very much got a stronghold out there on that. Very
it's
much
insane
so.
How to think that the media is that you can watch the media. If you, for a week, if you just separated yourself from BitChute or anything else, blog talk, and went back to just the normal, like, ABC, CBS type stuff, you couldn't believe what you hear over and over and over, and these people sit like it's mind control at the best.
Exactly what it is.
Something on another level. And
government mind control.
That's exactly what it is.
I throw a quick one in. Real quick, well, I just want to throw in. I see that you have some knowledge. The gentleman from Ohio, I see you have some knowledge on these things, and that's good. Try to be more positive, though, because I hear you throwing little jabs in there every now and then, like, oh, if my buddies was around, they would get their butts kicked. How about that?
No,
I mean, by
myself.
Hey, I could be by myself and it could happen. But what I'm saying is stop throwing
the
little jabs in. Let's keep it positive. Let's just keep it positive and no more little jabs about your buddies would tell you this. Your buddies can get you killed.
No, I'm talking about my black friends would say, hey, you got to stand up.
I'm talking about your black friends. I'm talking about your black friends.
And
with your black friends, with your black friends tell you. Okay, listen, I'm not arguing, Chewbacca. I just want to tell you one thing. I can hear what you're saying. With your black friends tell you.
Whoa, hold on. We got to maintain the order here because, see, I will pull the plug on this, and I don't want to.
Yes, sir.
We got to have some type of order here.
Exactly.
All I ask for. If we're going to disagree, let's disagree agreeably. You know what I'm saying? Because all this name calling and shouting
agree
out and all
disagree.
That, man, I gave that bullshit up 20 years ago.
Hey,
agree
can a man
disagree?
I don't have any disagreement at all. I'm the kind of guy, hey, whatever. If I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. But if I'm right,
but my
I'm
man,
gonna
don't
get
let your black friend
get
crap over
everybody.
Don't let your black friends get hurt. Don't let your black friends get you hurt or killed. Or
they're not
going to
get
you know?
Me hurt. They're not going
to
get me hurt.
They sound like the type that would tell you to go down and mess with the Bloods and the Crips.
No, they're not.
Yo,
you better go down and
stand up to them.
I'm not that angry.
Don't listen to them. If they give you advice like that, don't take it.
Okay. Okay.
What I'm saying is don't take bad advice.
Can't hold badges. Okay.
If I was your black friend, you know what I would tell you? I would say make peace.
There's going to be more people like us because we can converse. We can have conversation because we are the same people. We bleed the same. We breathe the same air. We walk on the same. We put our pants on the same way. Color doesn't mean shit to me. Nothing.
Okay.
Right
on, man. Hold on.
Let me agree with you. The son
right, okay. Let me explain something here. Okay, what's my man's name right here? Our new caller right there. Get with Joe.
Stanley.
Because Joe and I, we've had knockdown conversations about that same subject matter that you're talking about over the years, haven't we, Joe?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
We know how to be silent and speak at the right time, too.
That's right.
You know,
okay.
Hey, all I'm saying is I'm all for right and I'm against all wrong. I don't care who it is.
Okay.
You're for
okay,
justice.
We
so, Stanley, are you saying you're for justice? Are you for guaranteeing that nobody is mistreated by the color of their skin and those that need the most constructive help get it?
Absolutely. Listen, anybody that does right, just, and lives and stays in their lane and doesn't cause any harm to anybody else, absolutely. Something happens to them for any reason, any color, yes. Just like the migrants. If they come through the southern border, the proper channels, through the like all the other ones that have, that's fine. But to do this infiltration to knowingly come here because that's how it is, they're taking advantage of a situation. I don't hate them, but they're not doing it the right way, and they should be held accountable. Accountability is everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you do something wrong, you have to be held accountable. I don't care what level of
Now let me ask you this. How do you feel about now, okay, I'm going to just put you here to a little bit of a test now.
Okay,
this case is old. Okay, how do you feel about Stacey Coons, Timothy Wynn, Lawrence Powell, and Theodore Bracino?
Well, if they back Israel and they believe and they believe and they have the light and they want to listen, here's the thing. Can I answer?
The media has y'all brainwashed.
Well,
sir. I hate to say it.
Did you see
those hostages that were released from Israel? I mean, all those kids, children and old people.
Israel
released them, and they got
Hamas. Who created
Hamas?
The United States government. That's right.
You're talking business right there.
The same Mossad and CIA created at the same time.
Really be here all night naming all the organizations.
States. So that's what they do. They go to other countries and take over.
When it comes to
they
Israel,
take over
other countries. When you guys talk about the Israelites and whatnot back in the times of Christianity and everything like that, that's not the same Israel today. We're not talking about the same people. These people today claim to be our best friends.
Anybody on here
and will blow up and attack the USS Liberty and take no recourse for it.
We can definitely agree on that.
They apologize for it.
I don't think anybody on
this
call right now is pro-Israel.
Well, I'm pro whoever's doing the right thing. And if it's messing with kids, I got something for you. That's all there is to
that. There's no argument about these children.
Again, my suggestion to you is your probably only real black, possibly friend, just for tonight anyway. Don't keep being like that. That just causes problems. Everybody got to come together.
The
problem is apparently Jewish supremacy.
Yes.
Well, I'm just 100%. Saying that if we all come together, then we can do some things about it. Then we can pull our dollars together and take over Hollywood, and the Jews won't own it no more. We can take over the airwaves. As a matter of fact, if we get our reparations, we'll
movie.
Be just that.
They ain't put out a decent movie since Biker Boys, for the love of God.
Right. Exactly.
When we get our reparations, we'll do just that.
I'm a Native American. I want my reparations as well.
Hold on. What kind of Native American are you?
Cherokee. I'm Cherokee.
You said you was Aryan.
I did not say that. I said I am from Akron.
Did you say you was an Aryan?
I said I'm a Caucasian from Akron.
Right,
but
now
after that, you just said Aryan.
But.
No, you misunderstood me. My bloodline is Cherokee.
Okay.
Civilized pride.
It's okay. We're not going to condemn you for being white. That's okay.
No.
All I'm saying is
thank God.
once all the people come together in the United States, it's going to be a better place, you know? We got to stop being angry at each other. I can hear a little anger in your voice. You like to have a knockdown, drag-out brawl with me until you see these six-pack arms, and you look at me and say, this guy rides a bike for 60 miles without stopping. His cardio is off the chain. I don't want none of that. Then you call your black friends, and they say, he's a black panther. We're not messing with him. You must be out of your mind.
Hey, check out my website. You'll see what I do. I'm not going to say I'm
trained. I
don't
want to check out your website. I'm saying have a little more togetherness and
I'm trying
stop being
to,
at
you
war.
Know what? I'm upset. I'm upset because I know for a fact in the last 10 years I've watched this world go from okay to real bad, and it's getting worse because we can't come together. We can't see as a group, like us here talking, like you just said, yeah, we could do that. Now we know who the problem is.
Acting like a bull in a china shop, you're not going to get anywhere.
As soon as we go over and we try to do something, we get over the top of the target, they drop the bomb on us. They hammer down on us because they are in the power positions to do that. And it's just so aggravating because I watch how this whole – everything around me just has changed 180 degrees. There used to be – I don't know, if you saw a veteran or if you saw an elderly person, you'd hold the door open. I don't care what color you are. You pick them up, help them put their groceries in a car. You shovel their driveway. Mm-hmm. You can't get these kids out of bed today, out there, get their off their phone to pick up their own shoes, let alone shovel snow.
It's funny you bring that up because I said that exact same thing when I was running for mayor in Denver, Colorado.
It's happened because the parents now, we have lost a full generation of children. They're gone.
Tell me about it. I've witnessed it, my man.
Mr. Potato Head, Mr. Butcher, the puppet man. What's going to be the leaders that come out of this group that have been indoctrinated?
Hey, man, I'll leave that there to you guys. I'll be dead and long gone, man. I do not want
to
see this place in the 2070s. I don't want to see it in the 2080s. I don't want to see it in the 2090s, man. 2100, man, is going to be off the chain. And I will be so glad that I will not be there.
I'm going to give you guys a projected date before all the bullshit ends. 2040, bad things happen. It's called the Phoenix Reset. Every 138 years, this world, through a chronological timeline, has been documented in the last 6 months to show every 138 years, the world goes through a reset, whether it's going to be cataclysmic or it's going to be in sections of the world, but people die. And here's what's going to happen. 2046 is the correct date. The Mayan calendar was projected, not 2012, because the dates for a full year used to be 360 days.
I love it when he was up here, but now you're
There's
going back down there again. Unless you're like
I'm 2046.
Are you from the
bad
future? I mean, it's cool. It's cool. You're good. You're all right with me. I wanted to ask you a question. Do y'all know about this for everybody, like maybe a round robin? The singularity is supposed to happen in 2 years. So how are we going to get to a reset if we're going through a singularity? You do know what the singularity. You seem like you've been on the man from Ohio. He's been on top of everything that I asked him so far. So I would think that you know about the singularity.
But here's the thing with the singularity projection. How about, though, we go back almost, I think it starts in the 1500 B.C.
No, singularity is supposed to be in 2025.
So at 2040,
Everybody's
civilization disappeared. Mayans is up and gone. How about the ones on Easter Island? Gone. Made the Moai heads. Where'd they go? Up and gone.
Oh, no, we're talking about the singularity. I presume too much. Somebody told me, always presume that everybody knows what you're talking about. But for those that don't, and I'm sure there's people listening, singularity is AI. Artificial intelligence, which it already wrote its own language, so that you can't even cut it off. They tried to cut it off. It made its own language and it cut itself back on.
Before we get to it, by the time
2040 or whatever come around, we'll be gone by then. So the singularity, on the other hand, we got a couple of years, and the singularity is going to be like.
They need to pull the plug on that situation. Somebody's got to slow it down because I know
for
a fact
that I heard
some military
talk. Tried. Do you hear me? They tried pulling the plug. They tried to pull the plug. They couldn't.
They do a drone.
This thing made its own. It made its own language
with AI, and they say, okay, they give it a mission. Okay, the AI took this drone and went through this mission set, but at the end of it, it had decided it was told to target a water tower for whatever reason, and then it decided, why does this need to destroy the water tower? Why not destroy the person that built the water tower? Now it seems it starts its process of thinking, and they shut, and this is government. This is coming straight from the United States out of the Pentagon talking about this one. And they say they automatically thought to go kill who created the water tower. Not take just a simple subject out. Take out the creator of it. So that stuff thinking by itself is
it's making up its own mind. It's making up its own mind, you know. It's making the decision. So once it's let loose, we become a roach infestation, and then all the people, all the human beings going to come together then, because it's going to be like that damn movie, The Terminator.
That's what I'm saying.
You're in that stage now.
That's Terminator time right now.
It is, because the movie was still in the 2030s.
We got Skynet.
The Terminator was made in the 1980s, and it was set in the 2030s. Yeah, that's exactly where you're at, is the Terminator time.
How about
that is a fact.
Terminator, you have the Matrix.
How about that?
And then you have...
I think we have... There's hope. You sound like the gentleman in Ohio sound like you're giving up hope. I want to give you some hope.
No, I'm not giving up hope. I just know we're in trouble. There's not enough hope.
No, I'm not. I'm saying don't give up hope because, like, for the youth and stuff like that, because all the youth ain't running crazy. Some of them are running over there to you, you know? Some of them are running over here to me. Some are running over here to me. And I wanted to tell you what I told everybody on Black on our show the other night, which was once you start with them, don't stop, you know, because they've been abandoned. They've been left behind. Yep. And some of them wasn't abandoned. Their fathers were just taken and put in prisons, maybe for simple child support or smoking a J even, you know, which is legal now. So then they take the family, break it apart, and they take the woman has to take care of everything. So now she has to work. So what you got the kid at school, and 8 hours, and then now he's got a daycare for another 6 hours because mama at work, and he getting raised by the system. So the ones that come over to you, teach them what you teach them the right thing, but don't tell them. Oh, my black friends will tell me to go off on your ass. No, we don't do stuff.
Hey,
black folks don't
I'm
do
not
that.
Gonna, hey,
no,
not
we
do.
Let me tell you the truth.
Hey,
my uncles, my grandmama.
I'm not going to tell them to go steal horses from the Ku Klux Klan. I'm not
going
to send them to do that shit.
I understand. What I'm trying to tell you is that my people, and I just want to give you, and I'm sure you're going to agree with this in your mind, even if you don't say it out loud. Most of the black folks that I know, if I told them, man, I'm pissed off at these people, I'm going down and crack some heads. I got a baseball bat. You know what? You already know what they would tell me.
Come on.
Thanks.
They'd go with you.
No, hell no. They would tell me, well, you better put that shit down and go sit down somewhere and calm your behind down. You better calm yourself down and say you ain't going to go to war. Where you going to go is either the cemetery or prison.
What
prison.
Are you fighting those?
So now
you
when
know?
You get to prison, you're going to be fighting every day. You're going to be fighting every single day. So you started off with a good cause. You went to war over a good cause, right? And now you're fighting every single day just to survive.
Yep.
Well, my family would tell me, well, you better not go down there. That's what my folks would say. You better not go down there. I know some warriors that are strapped up to the hilt. I know some warriors that are strapped to the hilt. They got more bullets than the hilt. They got more bullets than the damn government. But what I'm saying is, even they would tell me, You better calm your ass down. So ain't nobody going to go down there and shoot up a bunch of shit with you and wind up going to prison. You better sit down somewhere. So that's what I'm saying. You better get you some black friends that'll tell you that.
It's going to come to a point where your friends say, hey, it's time. We got to go. We got to go do this, because that's exactly what happened in 1776 when the shit hit the fan. The people got sick of it, and they fought. And I'm telling
you know
right
what happened to them,
the
right?
The only reason
you know what happened to them, right?
Has not been overrun completely is because so many of us are armed. So many of us Americans are armed. Just like that.
You
Japanese.
Know what happened? You know what happened to the Minutemen, right? I'm glad you said that, because do you realize that they were the British was kicking their asses.
Absolutely.
You do realize that, right?
We started coming in scouting.
I mean,
some.
They were kicking their asses on a regular basis, and
you
then
know what,
and then George Washington.
They adapted.
And look,
you
George Washington said,
"Straight line on the middle of a field, shooting at each other like a bunch of chess pieces. That's stupid." Now you come back in the woods.
Hey, check it out. You know what, George Washington? you remember? Maybe you didn't see this, but I saw it. George Washington said his men were experts at retreating.
They were getting their ass kicked all the way through. He was one of the worst field generals at first. He had one epiphany, and when he crossed the Delaware, the shit hit the fan. He got lucky. The fog rolled in, and he got lucky. He was not a very good field general. He lost a lot of people.
You know,
a lot.
Do you know he wrote a I forgot what you call them things, presidents, right?
Autobiography.
No. He wrote something that said he did not want any black folks in his army. He didn't want no black folks in his army. So, check it out. When he said he didn't want no black folks.
Right?
Yeah, he can have them as slaves. Matter of fact, he had his Billy Lee. Billy Lee was George Washington's favorite slave. But what I'm saying is it's funny to me, because the British, they put up flyers saying that any black person that come and fight with the British would have their freedom.
So when
you say they would say, would come a time like 1776 where they all gonna go down the hill and get massacred. And see, I'm not going into a fight that I know that I can't win. I'm more like a strategist. I'm like, if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it right. I'm gonna call Joe, and Joe's gonna send the National Guard down to help me.
Right.
Ain't that right, Joe?
Gonna pull up the chair.
Right.
We're gonna have the Hatchet Squad come through.
The Hatchet Squad ain't gonna be no match for them Green Berets.
Don't bullshit yourself, any. Who do you think those Green Berets learn from? Check that out. Check out SEAL Team 6 about the Hatchet Squad and the some atrocities that are starting to come surface, and it's kind of sad. I really don't like to even talk about it, but it's got to come out. I mean, there's been a couple bad apples about some skin and
stuff. I'm going to give them one to look up, and then I'm going to mute myself. Look this up. And then you won't want to do it. Look this up. What was it? Help me out, Shabaka. Reagan, he the one that wrote that bill. Was the RX? What was it? Damn, I can't.
The Mulford Act in California.
No, it'll come to me in a minute.
He's the president or the governor of California when he did it.
He was the president. Rex 84. That's it. I keep
Rex
saying 86.
Yeah.
Rex 84, and it says for those that haven't read it, that if there's a civil conflict, like a civil war, they've already reinstated all these concentration camps that they had for the Japanese, which you were speaking about earlier. They're renovating them,
and they have more, and they have a lot of hidden ones that you don't know about. And what they would do is they would declare martial law first, declare martial law, and then it even says it in black and white if you read it. It says in the case of a race war, it even said race war, that they would take all of our people and put them in these concentration camps. And guess what's right next to – oh, you know about Ambrose, right, from Hitler's regime? He was Hitler's favorite scientist, Ambrose. He's the one that came up with that – somebody help me out. What was that he came – that neural gas. So the guy that started that, he was Hitler's man. They put him in the government. And now what I was trying to get to, and I'll get to it real quick and just wrap it up, which is that right next to those concentration camps, they have mass incineraries. And right next to them, mass incineraries, they have railroad tracks.
Remember, 1999, Noah Hyde Law signed into act. That's the Noah Hyde Laws, and there's seven of them. And there is
You got to look up Rex 84. You really got to look up Rex 84. Operation Garden Plot. Look up.
But I want you to look up Noah Hyde Laws because they've ordered us a guillotine.
Look up Operation Garden Plot. It will tell you all about it. And now what I'm trying to tell you, my brother in Ohio, my Indian white brother in Ohio, is you won't wind up in the concentration camps with us.
Well, I'll be with family, and they, if they want some, come get some. Tell the big ones to line up and the little ones to pair up.
Yeah, well, just don't leave the Army. Just don't leave the Army. I'll give you a marching orders when it's time.
We're going to wind it down. We thank Jay Dizzle for it. Everybody get your closing comments. Yeah, because all we went in overtime tonight. Yeah, okay. No, it's all good. It's all good. Okay, so definitely check with us back next week, okay? We're at the same place, same time, and definitely check us out on Grand Rising with Shabaka and the Chase. That comes on there at 8 o'clock in the morning in the Pacific, 11 a.m. for those on the East Coast. Get in touch with Sarge. He knows all about it. You know, we appreciate everybody that is called in, you know, from Dynamite to Sarge to Joe Gibson to Brother Che, myself, you know what I mean, you know, and Solution and what have you. Okay, it's because I see Jay dropped, and which is cool, you know, we ain't got number love and respect for Jay, but it is late, and, you know, and we are in overtime, and everybody's in the
super overtime.
So. And we thank everybody tonight. Joe, we appreciate you. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to go out, you know, tonight by Mama Africa herself. This is a classic song that she made. It's called African Sunset. And we thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And we're just having a decent closing, so therefore they don't pull the plug on us halfway through. So appreciate everybody. Hey, get with us on Grand Rising.
Let me talk and say what I had to say. And my name's Octavius, if you guys wanted to know, so you don't forget.
Okay, Octavius.
Freak Indian.
Okay, yeah, we appreciate you. Okay, we appreciate you. Going out. Okay, going out with African Sunset.
Came up with some solutions, see? Black power.
Yes, sir.
Ilanga lishoni le bafana masibu izinkomo zobafana. Ilanga lishoni le bafana masibu Oh,